talked about. You gotta put it in perspective.
This is an experience of self-fulfilling prophecy. You have to enter into it with a spirit of optimism. It's like a boat trip. You know, cast off thinking about sinking.
And this boat is perfect. And the water is calm. Go ahead. Just let it melt on your tongue.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
As far as the area goes, we're surrounded City Hall. We're on we're a little bit on this side. And there's more people on that side. Have you been mingling and intermixing and going around talking to people?
It's a level of incompetence in this office is staggering.
You are a disgrace to all Jewish alcoholics.
And now.
Our girls, we have problems too. We're just like you, except we're hot.
Guys, I got an idea. How about we do a song that's not whiny bullcrap?
Our feature presentation.
I still love the Hot Problems girls, by the way, because they're just like us, Lisa, except they're hot.
They're hot. They're
that's
hot.
That's what's going on.
Hot.
And in case you're wondering, because for about a minute, that was considered the worst song that was ever released. That was all everybody was saying is, oh, my God, it makes makes Friday by Rebecca Black look like Bohemian Rhapsody. For a minute, there was so much hate on the internet for those girls. But then they did an interview. They went on the Today Show. And I don't even think we ever talked about this, where they said, no, we're terrible singers. And we just did it to be funny, to amuse ourselves. That's all we that was all it was. And
really?
Kind of took the air out of that balloon because
aww,
people thought, oh, these are the latest, the latest people who believe that they're talented and they're infecting us with their nonsense.
Well, but I'm disappointed and relieved at the same time.
I know. I feel
perhaps
exactly
the apocalypse is not here quite yet.
It kind of takes some of the fun out of hating them and hating their little song.
It does.
Just doing it to amuse themselves and they know they're terrible. So.
And yet now it's kind of funny because they're terrible.
Because they're terrible. Exactly. Which is weird because why is it that the real terrible singers that actually are successful, the Kesha's of the world, why don't they see how terrible they are? I guess that's why we end up hating them so much is because they pretend like they think they're good.
Yes. Well, they do think they're good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Hot Problems. I still like it. I also should say, by the way, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show for an all-new program today for a Wednesday. I also should say that the Mega Millions last month that got so huge, the $600 million or whatever it was, it kind of ruined me a little bit.
Because?
I'm not a lottery guy. I do not play the lottery. I bet I've bought lottery tickets 5 times in my life. But like the rest of America, I kind of got caught up a little bit in that the excitement of that huge jackpot.
The what would you do game?
Yeah. Because, the odds are, and I read somewhere this morning, and I thought this was very funny, the odds of winning the lottery are worse than being attacked by 2 different species of sharks on the same day. And I thought that was a pretty funny way to put it. But, you go and you rationalize if you can't afford it, if you can put down a dollar or five or ten or whatever it is you've got, you go, well, I can afford to lose that in just what if? What if I do win? It would be so worth the investment, right?
You are paying to dream.
I really think
exactly. That's it. Yeah.
Yes. So I bought tickets for the 3 weeks that jackpot was building up big, and all 3 times, of course, I lost. And then now in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'm rationalizing. Mm-hmm. Here's what my problem was, is I was buying tickets for the huge jackpots. Nobody's going to be buying tickets for the small jackpots, and that's still millions of dollars. That's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to sneak in there and buy tickets for the small jackpots, and then quietly under the radar, I'll win, $10 million or something.
What do you think? 5 people buy those tickets?
Yes, I think 5. And it's important to mention, it doesn't matter how many other people buy tickets. It has no effect whatsoever on what your odds are.
So it's still a better chance of being attacked by 2 species of sharks.
On the same day, yes. If 1 billion people buy tickets or if 5 people buy tickets, your odds of winning the lottery are the same because it's your numbers versus the numbers that come up. Doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. The only difference is whether you get a slice of the jackpot because someone else has your numbers. So last week, I go out and I buy $5 worth of lottery tickets because I'm thinking, this is my plan. I can win the Mega Millions. And then, of course, when I don't win, as you almost, never do, then I feel like a big giant sap because I just took a $5 bill and burned it for no reason.
And you're the guy who drives a mile to save a dollar.
Yes. So now I'm revisiting my strategy. I'm thinking I'm not going to win the lottery. And then I see Virginia Fike. Goddamn Virginia Fike.
Now, where does she live?
Berryville, Virginia.
Okay.
Who went into the Old Stone Truck Stop and Restaurant in Clearbrook, Virginia the other day.
That's
she's
a good
running
place.
Some errands. Uh-huh. Yes, that's what it is. Certainly is. And she decided she was going to buy two lottery tickets, one Powerball, one Mega Millions. She picked the same numbers for both. And we've had this discussion before about whether you ought to pick your own numbers or let the machine pick it. She says, I picked the numbers based on my parents' anniversary and their ages at the time divided by the year they were married. And that she says she doesn't play the lottery often, but she plays when she feels lucky or feels like she can afford it. Well, what happened, Lisa, is instead of getting a Powerball ticket and a Mega Millions ticket, she accidentally got two Powerball tickets. She screwed up.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I think you know exactly where this story is headed.
No.
As her numbers came up, except the Powerball, she had the other five numbers. So each ticket, the two she won, were worth $1 million each.
Oh, my God. So yep. She would have gotten $1 million.
Yes.
But now she has two.
She accidentally bought two Powerball tickets. I guess since she was filling out her own numbers, she's the one who grabs the piece of paper and right. fills them out herself. And she did two Powerballs instead of one of each. So she ended up 44 years old. She ended up winning both of them, $1 million on each ticket.
That is amazing.
So she becomes the first person in that state to win two Powerball lotteries in the same lottery drawing. So $1.4 million after taxes is what she gets.
So you gotta buy more tickets.
Is that the answer?
I think that's the answer. That's my lesson here? Right?
It hasn't just sunk in, she said. It feels good, but still, like right now, it's that somebody's going to pinch me and I'm going to wake up and it's all going to be a dream. So there you go. So two tickets, one by accident. Both are winners. The only winner, $1 million.
Sweet.
So
single? Is she single? Did she find out?
It doesn't say that, but she's 44, so what the hell interest do I have in her?
She's rich, kind of.
Now, there's that. There's that. All right, let's look ahead to today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If you're white, you don't belong here tonight.
I don't know that that's
really?
The attitude. Wow. An all-new Bean's Death Corner on the program today, ladies and gentlemen.
Death.
It's been a while. There hasn't been a lot of great death lately, but I'm very excited about this round.
People we'll are stepping it up hour. For you now.
Ralph's good friend Jaleel White is going to be on the program today. He, of course, was TV's Urkel back in the day. Now he is getting near the finals of Dancing with the Stars. But the reason we're having him on is because he is the host of a new show that is, A, the dumbest thing I've ever seen, and B, why has nobody ever thought of this before, where you send game show contestants into a completely black room. They can't see anything, and then they're asked to identify things that they have to put their hands into.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's exactly as bad as you think. I mean, I'm in a completely dark room. I have no idea what's around me, and now I have nothing but cockroaches on me.
Oh, you know? That's
so
creepy.
That's the kind of show it is.
Oh, yeah. God.
So we'll talk to Jaleel about that. One of our favorites, Eddie Ift, on the program today. He, of course, a great comedian, such a funny guy. Once again this year, just killed us at April Foolishness. He's coming to the Hollywood Improv. We've got that. Adam Carolla joins us for This Week in Rage today.
Mm.
And how about tickets in the pit? That was very weak.
I know. I'm sorry.
How about tickets in the pit for the sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta? It's coming up on Saturday, Cinco de Mayo at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We got tickets you can win. Two different chances for you to win today. One, you'll get a chance to stump Chip. We've never played that before, but she has a special talent that we'll tell you about and give you a chance to call in. That's all on the way on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph gets us going. With the Showbiz Beat coming up next right after this on K-Rock.
I would find a way.
Wilbur.
It's not Mr. Ed, it's the great Johnny Cash.
Oh, I thought it was Come Mr. On. Ed singing that song.
Right, Wilbur. You know, people ask me all the time when I get interviewed for college newspapers or whatever, and they say, you meet a lot of famous people on your show. Who's been your favorite? Which is a very difficult question to answer, of course, because we have been fortunate to have a lot of our faves in the studio over the years.
Yes.
But Johnny Cash is the answer that I give. That was the biggest thrill for me, to have him on the show and get a chance to interview the Man in Black himself.
Hey, he's a legend.
He's a legend. I mean, yeah. I felt like when I shook his hand that I was, you know, it was once removed from being at the birth of rock and roll.
Yeah. You
know, Johnny Cash from the, you know, because I'm not going to meet, probably not going to meet Jerry Lee Lewis or Elvis Presley, those guys.
Carl Johnny Perkins.
Cash, yeah, Johnny yeah. Cash was there at the beginning when it all began, and it's been such an important part of my life. So it was a great thrill to meet that dude. I'll tell you that. He was amazing.
I always say Lana Del Rey. That's my answer.
Comparable? Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Obviously.
We're going to talk about a picture that I posted at kevinandbean.com or krock.com yesterday, right after the top of the hour. The world's most beautiful woman has been determined. Science has come up with
Science!
The perfect face I want you to go to KROQ.com or KevinBean.com and take a look at that picture on the front page and then give us a call after the top of the hour. We will be talking about it after the top of the hour. Ralph, I understand you may need some phones between now and then, though.
I do need phones because I'm giving away tickets to Marvel's The Avengers.
Yay!
A very special KROQ advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers. It's happening on May the 1st at the AMC Century City 15. Of course, the movie's in theaters everywhere on May the 4th, so don't despair if you don't win these tickets. You'll still get a chance to see it soon, but you'll see it earlier and freer than other people if you do win. So that's an upside. I want to give it to some fans, though, some people who really know the Marvel Universe. So here's your trivia question for the day. Everybody's got an origin story. Spider-Man, of course, bitten by a radioactive spider. That's how he got his powers. Captain America, of course, injected with the Super Soldier Serum.
Of course.
Of course.
Obviously.
Let's talk about the Hulk, though. Let's talk about the Hulk, who, of course, has a major role in The Avengers, played Dr. Bruce Banner, played by Mark Ruffalo in the film, who does a great job. How did Dr. Bruce Banner become the Hulk? Just give me the brief origin of the Hulk. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First person through with the correct answer gets a pair of passes to see the advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers.
Listen to yourself, man. You're hanging with nerds.
Stop it. Love my people. We were talking on Monday after the most recent Mad Men whether there were any Howard Johnsons left or not. Turns out there are many Howard Johnsons.
Really?
The hotel chain is still alive and thriving. This is how I know this. Because apparently they feel so bad that to Don Draper that the heated pool at the Hojo he was staying at was closed, that Don Johnson wants to make it up to Don Draper. And they've announced this week they're offering a free night stay to anyone named Don Draper. If you can show up with your license proving that your name is indeed Donald Draper, you will stay free at Howard Johnson's, any Howard Johnson's in the United States. So
now, that's pretty smart. That is awesome, and they're getting exactly the publicity they hope for that. But they should also extend the offer to Dick Whitman, right?
They should.
Yeah, Come on. Good point.
Of course, it's Don Draper. He's only going to need the room for a couple hours anyway. He'd probably just bang it out with some waitress or something.
But, did he, on Mad Men, Sonny, did he ever even make it to the room?
No. Never got into the room.
He never even went there. Yeah.
He just drank coffee and sat in the lobby waiting for
That's funny.
Waiting for
just a sweaty mess.
He was.
I wonder where the Howard Johnsons are. I don't think there are any in Southern California. In fact,
there is one.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, someone told me yesterday, I think, that there's one down in Orange County, I think Fullerton area or something.
Because I read the article about the place that was the stand-in, I guess, at least for the diner part of it, was another place in Artesia or something like that. But, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe the exterior was a real Howard Johnson. You don't see him often.
It sure looked like it when they were shooting in the parking lot. That sure looked like the Hojo behind them. I remember there used to be a lot in the Philadelphia where I grew up. We used to go there for ice cream and fried clams all the time. But
fried clams,
yeah.
Huh?
Clam strips. He's the best. So, if your name is Don Draper, first of all, call us. We want to talk to you.
What's that like?
But secondly, you can stay at Howard Johnson's for free. That's good news. More good news. Bill Maher's show on HBO Real Time has been renewed for 2 new seasons.
Oh, good.
The 11th and 12th seasons will take the show through 2014. So, Bill's got a job for a while. It's got to make the conservatives frustrated. They hate him.
Yes.
I do give Bill credit. He does invite a lot of conservative guests on.
He
enjoys having them on and having the conversation, even though he disagrees with them. It's not just a one-way conversation.
He doesn't stack the deck in his favor at all on that show, which is to his credit. Now the bad news. E! Entertainment Television Cable Network announced yesterday they're renewing Keeping Up with the Kardashians for another 3 seasons.
No! No!
So take that.
Oh, my
Real Time.
God.
But they're barely paying them a cent for that, right, Ralph?
No, they're giving them, it says here, all the money. I don't know what that number means, but they're just backing a truck up.
I heard it was over $40 million.
My God.
The 3-year deal was over $40 million.
But that gives E! The rights to any spinoffs as well, Bean. So that when Scott Disick has his own show and everyone else is, and then when the little Kardashians are running around with their own show, you know, E! Wins.
That's bullshit.
Season 7 premieres May 20th on E!, so mark your calendars.
Think about the people out there who are getting up every morning to go cure cancer. I mean, that's their job, is they're in the lab all day long trying to cure cancer. And they're making, 60 grand a year. Think about those people right now here in this news.
Yeah. They should bring some cancer over to the Kardashians' house and dump it through the mail slot. I don't know if that's how you catch it or whatever, but just take a Petri dish and just throw it in the pool, and then we'll all win.
When you do find the cure, don't give it to them.
That's right. Yeah. We have an answer to my trivia question. I think Dan on line 3 may know how Dr. Bruce Banner became the Incredible Hulk. Dan?
That would be gamma radiation.
That's right, an overdose of gamma radiation.
Oh, it's the worst.
Lisa, you don't know anything. Gamma radiation is the worst.
I was mocking you guys.
I think she was, too. Dan, hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see Marvel's The Avengers before anybody else.
Great.
All right, hold on. He didn't sound that pleased. Don't call in if you don't want to win, Dan, for God's sake.
I guess if I have to go.
Great. I'd rather have an overdose of gamma radiation. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jason Lee from My Name is Earl and Almost Famous and Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked.
Yes.
He's 42 years old. Renee Zellweger celebrates her 43rd birthday. Gina Torres from Alias and I Think I Love My Wife. She's 43 years old.
Is she
old.
Belle?
Oh, yeah. Very Belle. She's very Belle. Eric Avery.
Yeah, Eric.
From Jane's Addiction, the bass player for that band, is 47. Hank Azaria from The Simpsons is 48 years old. And the legendary Al Pacino. Ooh-ah. He celebrates his 72nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Tonight. Hey!
That's excellent. Good work.
Appropriate?
Yeah.
Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. Our friend Eddie Ift joins us on the program later on today. What else do we have going on? Jaleel White. Your pal Jaleel White is going to be on the show.
J-Dub.
And Adam Carolla as well. All right, here's what you do, kids. You go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com right now, and about halfway down on the front page, you'll see a web post that I put up yesterday. Is this the world's most beautiful woman?
Which is a ridiculous question.
Yeah, it's
you know that.
Completely subjective.
You know that coming out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a headline meant to get eyeballs.
Yes.
But the reason that the question is phrased that way is because this is the woman who scientists say has the most perfect face. I don't know how they are able to take something as subjective as beauty and turn it into a scientific formula, but they have apparently done that. They have a ratio. Here's what it says in the Daily Mail Britain article. And we want to hear from you, by the way, once you take a look at this picture to tell us if you think she's the world's most beautiful woman or if there's something wrong with her. Like, how would you improve this woman's face? A woman's face is said to be the most attractive when the space between her pupils is just under half the width of her face from ear to ear. Experts also believe that the relative distance between the eyes and the mouth should be just over a third of the measurement from the hairline to the chin. And apparently this woman, who is an 18-year-old British girl named Florence Colgate, she is a student and part-time restaurant worker, apparently she fits that ideal to a T. Like, she would be perfection if you were to draw a woman based on that formula in the studio. This is what you would end up with.
Mm-hmm. Only Bean could turn a hot chick into numbers, by the way. Only he could break it down into some freaking formula with a map and an address and just all kinds of freaking numbers.
This is
freaking Asperger's. Asperger's.
It's about symmetry.
Ugh.
Now, do you think
only you could make hot chicks boring.
This isn't boring.
I believe one-third of the pupil region between the T-zone and X being, of course, the variable of the width of the chin.
The University of St. Andrews Perception Library of the School of Psychology, Ralph, adds that Florence has all the classic signs of beauty. She has large eyes, high cheekbones, full lips, a fair complexion, and, of course, has the symmetry, which is a very important cue to attractiveness. But here's what's fascinating to me, and this is why I want to hear from our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. I was shocked at how pretty this girl was, by the way, when I saw the photo.
She is stunning. I love the picture.
And they say that is without any makeup.
That's the reason she won some contest, whatever. This is her without a stitch
of
makeup on it.
That's ridiculous.
But she's 18, Lisa. A lot of 18-year-olds can pull off hot with no makeup.
And her cheeks.
I know. She's a stunning woman. And she's British on top of it, which, you know, is one of my weaknesses. But
Now, we got a lot of comments on this post at krock.com yesterday. And a couple of them mentioned, hey, she's British. Is that why her mouth is closed? Because we can't really make a decision how hot she is until we see her teeth. We got to see those teeth because she is British. A lot of people went on to complain that it's just a picture of her face. Hey, we can't decide if she's the world's most beautiful woman because we need to see her body. You know, people are ass man, people are boob man or something like that. That's not really what the point of this exercise
right.
is.
No.
This is just about the face. That's what this is. Here's some of the other comments, though. And again, call us at 1-800-520-1067 if you've seen this picture, because there are people who posted yesterday who believe that she could be improved upon. Brandon, for instance. What's up with her lips?
What's up with her lips? Are amazing.
Her lips are great.
Blonde. How original.
Oh, F these people.
Now, is that
this is why the internet blows. Because people can say things.
TJ writes, in my opinion, she just looks boring. Skyman writes.
Oh, Skyman. Yeah, he always plagues me, this Skyman.
The eyebrows just don't seem right. I don't know how to say it because I'm not one of those fake scientists. But seriously, if I cover her eyebrows, she looks twice as pretty. Other than that, she's flawless.
Skyman. You're wrong again, Skyman.
This is what I love, by the way. And every time this happens all the time, you know, with guys in particular, they'll see, you know, an unbelievably hot chick. Psycho Mike used to be the king of this.
Yeah.
And he would be like, yeah, but look at her knees. You know what I mean? I mean, you can always find something that you want to
complain hair.
About.
Look at that scalp. That's what he'd be saying.
So people are writing it and complaining and saying that she's not just right. But, Ralph, you've seen the photo.
Yes. I'm looking at it as we speak.
How could she be improved?
I can't think of one way she could be improved. Because here's the thing, you have to, and Lisa has a point, you have to remember, this is like the stripped down, pure, just look at her face picture of this
girl.
That's
what she's starting with.
Right. This is her, just stripped down, basic, this is what she looks like first thing in the morning over a cup of coffee, okay? Now take that and do whatever you will to it on top of it. Put the sexy makeup on and the hot dress and do her hair and whatever you want to do. You could make her beyond supermodel hot. You could turn her into anything you wanted to be, starting with this foundation. She is a stunning, beautiful girl just at get-go, just from ground zero. Imagine what you could build from that foundation.
Imagine what you could build.
Oh.
The bionic woman right here.
You could make her anything you wanted out of it. You could make her a sex kitten. You could make her the plain Jane girl next door. You could make her the young college student. Oh, the games you could play.
It is funny, though. Imagine that you walk into a fish and chips shop in Britain, and there's Florence behind the counter.
Yeah.
You'd never go anywhere else to eat, right?
Yes.
No. I mean, it's insane.
She's got the deep fryer behind her, so is Florence and the machine right there in the one place. What? I'm just saying, if you're in a fish and chips shop, that's what you would see.
Fire! Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And by the way, we linked to the original article from the Daily Mail on this post at KevinMeade.com or KRock.com, and they talk about how the celebrities that most closely match the formula, that have the scientific formula for beautiful face, are Shania Twain, Liz Hurley, and Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
They're kind of hot.
Those three are pretty good models for beautiful women. Yeah.
And they all have the same...
Shania Twain, especially. She's got like a classically beautiful face.
Exactly. Well, anyway, if you want to see the picture and add your comments to you...
I'm going to add something to this picture in about 4 minutes.
Oh, God.
Come on, Lisa.
Stop. Oh, no.
World famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Weekend number 3 of Coachella is coming up this weekend.
No, it's... Yeah, you can see all the same... really, there's not three
bands that you saw last weekend and the weekend before.
No, it just
keep
it
listening
two.
When you're...
And now it's
an all
Weenie
new Beans
Roast.
Death Corner. Oh, that's right. Weenie
yes,
Roast. We do have those for you
up.
Today coming up. And an all new Beans Death Corner in minutes. First, though, the monkey is out. Kevin is sick for a couple of days. Speaking of monkeys, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices is on the air right now at the Kevin and Bean Show. And unfortunately, Beer Mug, you're going to have to be the one who reads to me what's on the wheel. We haven't spun
man.
It in a while. What is that, an old man? That's an honor. To
I mean,
be
yes.
Able to
yes, it is an honor. Yes.
And then we'll spin the wheel and find out which phone call we're going to make because lots of animals are in the news and we do like to do the follow up for you. Who are our choices going to be today?
Well, first we have the badass super soldier ants.
Ooh.
And then that's followed up by Houdini, the Australian runaway goat, the albino cyclops shark, doomsday prepper, survival kitty, George.
Oh, survival kitty.
I know.
Yeah. It's an oldie but goodie. George the basset hound that dialed 911 for himself, the Icelandic worm monster, Erwin the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
I want to talk to Erwin.
I want to talk to all these animals.
Toto the tornado kitten. Olay, the dog that survived an avalanche.
Jeez.
And my favorite, and Ralph's favorite probably, Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten.
Is the two-faced kitten in heaven, or is the two-faced kitten still alive? Do you know?
I don't know.
I think he's alive.
Yeah.
If it lands on that, I guess we'll find out. All right, let's spin the wheel. Oh, bad animal voices. Hit it, Steve.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
No.
It's gonna be pretty bad.
Good spin.
Yes, George the Basset Hound that dialed 911 for himself.
George!
Fantastic. Here's the story. This one comes from West Yorkshire, England. George is a two-year-old Basset Hound, Lisa. He got so tangled in the phone cord that he began choking.
Oh.
No one was home. His owner, Steve Brown, and his daughter, Lydia, were not there. But he somehow, being tangled up in the cord, managed to alert authorities by dialing 999, which is the British equivalent to our 911, according to the Sun newspaper. So he called, he hit the buttons on the phone to call the emergency operator.
That is a miracle.
Concerned by the heavy breathing on the other end, the emergency operator dispatched police to the home, and neighbors let the police into the house where George was choking on the living room floor. Is that incredible or not?
I just love that story. I'm so happy George is okay.
Well, I'm so happy that George joins us on the phone right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, George the Basset Hound.
Hello, how are you doing?
Well, we're fine. You had a little bit of excitement recently, huh?
It was too bloody exciting, if you ask me.
Yeah.
There I was on the floor with this phone call wrapped around my neck, and the first thing I thought to myself was, it's the 21st century, who's still got a phone with a cord on it?
Such a good question.
My bloody owners, I should have bitten them right in the genitals.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't hurt them to get some sort of a wireless or maybe just use a cell phone. You're right, that does seem a little old-fashioned, doesn't it?
I mean, let's be serious here. It's a hazard for pets having a cord like that.
Certainly, yes. Now, what happened? How did you get tangled? I mean, you're 2 years old. It's not like this is the first time you'd ever seen a phone cord. How did you get caught up in it, George?
I was having just a bit of phone sex with some bitch down the street.
Huh?
You were talking.
I was having a bit of phone sex with a bitch down the street.
That's a surprise. I guess I didn't realize that dogs had phone sex.
Well, we have genitals, don't we?
Well, yes.
And those genitals need to be stimulated in some way.
Right,
I thought you just humped a pillow.
Well, yeah, you know, if I can't get to the phone, I do hump a pillow. Of course, I can lick myself.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a bonus.
In this particular case, my owners were out of the house, and I thought I'd take advantage.
All right.
And, George, you just couldn't wait for them to leave the house that day, right?
No, I was panting.
All right, so you're on the phone with your lady friend down the street.
No, it's a bitch.
A bitch. Okay, yes, well, okay. That's what they call the girls' dogs, yeah.
And so I got excited, and the next thing you know, I'm a little accident prone. I got caught up in the wire.
Hmm, yes.
And so immediately I lost my erection, and I had to try to dial 999 with my pool.
And losing your erection was not the worst thing that happened, because apparently, according to the neighbors and the police that burst in to find you, you were very near death. You had really strangled yourself pretty well in that cord.
It was almost a case of autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yes. Wow. You are a very...
embarrassing, having been found in that state with a cord around my neck, dressed in knickers.
That would have been terrible for your owners to come home and find. You're a very smart little Basset Hound, George.
Well, I appreciate it.
What? George! What happened?
What was that?
Sorry, I'm a bit accident prone. I just fell down the stairs.
Are you okay?
No. I'm pretty sure I have hip dysplasia.
Oh,
no. This is awful. George, what's happening?
I was trying to crawl to the phone and I fell through a plate glass window.
Jeez, George?
You believe I've severed an artery. This is bad.
Oh, please be careful. This is...
What is that?
I was trying to saw my way out of the window, and I cut off my paw with a handsaw.
Oh, my God.
No, George, no. Come on.
I was reaching for the light switch, and I electrocuted myself.
Oh, no. This is awful,
That's
George.
All right. I'm sure this chainsaw will make everything all right.
Oh, no. No, George. Put it down. Stop.
George.
George.
Are you there? George.
Come on.
George?
Well, at least I won't need to be neutered now.
Time for a brand new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Promise me Bean's Death Corner will continue at least once after I'm gone, Lisa, and that you guys will include me on the feature.
Absolutely.
Even if it's boring, even if it's just he passed away peacefully in his sleep, I want to be on a Bean's death corner. That is my dream.
That's not how you're going to die, Bean. I feel certain about that. You'll have a feeling. It'll be exciting and fun.
It'll be stupid is what it'll be. It'll yes, be really, like George really the Basset stupid. Hound. I'm going to get myself into some sort of situation that I can't get out of. I do love death, and I do enjoy scouring the world for great stories of how people go. And here's an unusual one that I don't believe I've ever heard anyone, Death by Swan. I think this is the first time Death by Swan has crossed my desk.
Mm. Good band,
you,
by the way.
Great idea for a band. You don't ordinarily find somebody killed by a swan, but this man worked with swans. His name was Anthony Hensley, 37-year-old married father for two, and he worked for a company that used swans and dogs to keep geese away from properties. How about that? Geese were a problem. I guess they probably foul the place or whatever. So they have swans, you know, in lakes and community, townhouses and things like that. So he was checking in on the swans near the Bay Colony condominiums in Illinois when one of the swans swam at him and caused him to roll off of his kayak into the water. According to witnesses, the swan continued to swim after Hensley even after he tried to make it to the shore. By the time rescue personnel arrived, he was underwater. An autopsy found he drowned. He drowned trying to get away from the swan.
You're kidding.
Like, what would cause the swan to go crazy? And, of course, I saw that Natalie Portman movie, so I know how black swans are. But what would cause him to go crazy and go after this dude in a boat? Like, what's up?
I don't know, but how can you not swim away? Like, how would you drown? I just can't imagine not being able to get to shore.
Yes, this was a pond that he was in. And I didn't see a photo of this, but the way I envision it is it's one of those little ponds that's kind of in the middle of a neighborhood cul-de-sac kind of basically.
Was he just a terrible swimmer?
Well, maybe he was, but death
that's
by swan.
Lame.
And it is sad if you're 37 years old, too, by the way. You ought to be able to take on a swan.
Yes,
come on.
You should.
What's up? Now we go down to Sao Paulo, Brazil. Here's an interesting story. The police had been tracking this guy for a long time, and they finally figured out who he was and arrested him and charged him with up to 10 potential deaths. This guy was a serious mass murderer. 51-year-old Jorge Beltrão Negroponte. What's unusual about his story is two things. One is he had accomplices, his wife and his mistress, who all three of them lived together.
Oh, you're kidding.
And they were all involved in killing the people and helping to hide the bodies. The other reason that this story in Brazil makes news, and you can read more details about this and all the stories at krock.com or kevinbean.com, the Bean's Death Corner post is up, is because they ate some of the bodies.
Oh, come on!
And packed the rest into meat pies that were very popular that they sold to neighbors, schools, and hospitals.
Isn't that a musical?
Yes, it's exactly. Barbara of Seville?
Yes.
Sweeney Todd, right?
It's Sweeney Todd, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Yes, according to the newspaper report, Negroponte's wife was known in the town for her delicious meat pies.
This is the best.
She'd been selling them all over town, and I don't
know. Hungry.
I don't know whether they did that because they were inspired by Sweeney Todd or if maybe this just goes on all the time and Sweeney
Todd
wrote about it.
Just a good business.
I guess
good
so.
Business model.
here's a story. We get one of these about once a year, and I don't know why this happened, but this is a 27-year-old named Zach McKee. He's visiting beautiful Chicago from Ossian, Indiana. He went in over the weekend to catch a Cubs game, and for some reason he decided while waiting in the subway station that he needed to take a leak. I don't know why he thought he would jump down onto the tracks to pee, but he did come in contact with the electrified third rail and was instantly electrocuted. And this not only happens all the time. We see this story frequently. This is the third time it has happened on this subway line with people that get electrified by that third rail.
Why did they jump down?
Why do they jump down indeed?
I mean, they don't get pushed or fall?
Is it too crowded to pee on the platform? Is it too far to go to get to the restroom in the subway station? I don't know. But they do, and apparently Mythbusters checked out a story like this once where people thought that maybe if you pee on the rail, you get electrocuted, but that's not the case. Apparently his body somehow came in contact with him beyond his urination.
He had to step on it or something.
27 years old, though. That's not how you want
to go. Too dumb to live, though.
Too dumb to live, yeah. I don't think the world is going to miss that dude. Another 27-year-old, Tiago Kilmec. He died in a tragic way. He's an actor. Back into Brazil we go now. He was playing Judas in the Easter Passion play. I don't know if you're familiar with how Judas's life ends, but he feels remorse after betraying Jesus and hangs himself. Well, they had the noose rigged up on stage. It wasn't supposed to work out the way it did, where it actually did hang him.
No.
I guess the knot, was it tied correctly? There's a trick way to tie the knot so that your body isn't really pulling all the weight on the rope.
Yeah.
He, of course, was on stage at the time doing the play. He was there for 4 minutes before somebody else in the cast said, hey, that's a little more realistic than usual. I think he's in trouble. So they cut him down, and at that point, he was already dead.
He was already dead?
Yes, yes. 4 minutes is a long time hanging from your neck, Lisa.
I know, but can't you go several minutes without oxygen?
I don't know, but I would think that he would be flailing around, and maybe you just imagine the other actors going, wow, he's really hamming it up tonight.
Oh, that's so horrifying.
That's the most realistic death scene I've ever seen.
People will never go to the theater again that saw that. Never.
Yes. Yeah, you're probably right about that. They actually saw a man die on stage. But this is what happens when you play Judas. Don't play the bad guy. Come on.
Good point.
And finally, and I apologize if our little friend Brad Williams is listening right now, because this one's going to be tough for you to hear, but we go to Oklahoma City for this, where Clara Ann Blocker, 41, has pled guilty and has been sentenced to a life in prison for beating a dwarf to death with a crystal ball.
Oh, my God.
She was living with Eric Scott Saxton, 41, who is 4'5" tall. She is 5'11", by the way.
Wow.
So a little bit of a height disparity there. They got into a fight. She had originally told detectives that she would never hurt Saxton, quote, because he's a little person, end quote. But then she later admitted that they were drinking vodka. They got into an argument. We don't know about what. She grabbed a crystal ball, which I guess is some sort of a knickknack that you might have on your dresser or something like that.
Yeah.
She hit him in the head and then decided to continue beating him, this time with the DVD player that she ripped out of the entertainment console.
She's a monster.
Wow. Death by crystal ball and DVD player.
Oh, that's
so
sad.
Yeah, and I'm always sad to see bad things happen to little people, but he's gone, unfortunately. Again, you can see all of these stories, pictures, video, and more details. Just go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. This has been an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Yes, we have Weenie Roast tickets in the pit that you can win on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Jaleel White will join us, Eddie Ift, and the great Adam Carolla comes by later on today as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz. Bean, what's going on?
Whatever with Weenie Roast tickets. How about tickets for Marvel's The Avenger?
Woo!
Yay!
The greatest superhero movie ever made.
Also good.
Awesome.
It's not a competition, though.
Oh, it is, and I win.
We have tickets to both.
I've got Captain America. I've got Black Widow. I've got Thor. I've got Iron Man. I've got Hulk, and I've got Hawkeye. What do you have?
I do love
Coldplay? What do you have, Coldplay?
Ooh,
we're Coldplay. Yeah. Hulk would kill Coldplay. Hulk would smash Coldplay.
I don't think they're in competition. Coldplay isn't going to fight the Hulk.
Hulk would smash Coldplay.
What about the clip in the trailer where the guy says, we have an army, and Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, says, yeah, but we have a Hulk.
We have a Hulk.
What about that? That's
awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Hulk smash. If you'd like to go, I've got a trivia question for you. Hawkeye's in this film, played by Jeremy Renner. Does a great job in the movie, by the way. No one really knows this character so much because he just had a small role in Thor, really, but he's much more fleshed out in The Avengers. If you are a Hawkeye fan, then this will be easy for you. Hawkeye, of course, Clint Barton. I'll tell you guys his secret identity, Clint Barton. Was also two other superheroes in the Marvel Universe. Had two other superhero personas. Name those two heroes. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First person through with the right answer gets a pair of passes to our very special advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers, happening on May 1st at the AMC Century City 15. And, of course, the movie's in theaters everywhere on Friday, May the 4th. So don't feel bad. Don't feel bad if you don't win.
Obviously.
More news from Howard Johnson's hotel chain.
What?
Well, this story gets deeper and deeper. We keep wondering what's going on with Howard Johnson. This was a wildly popular hotel chain in the 60s and 70s. It was featured on Mad Men this weekend. Don Draper goes there because they're thinking of taking them on as a client and doing an advertising campaign for them. And apparently he doesn't get to go into the pool with his new wife, Megan, because a kid pooped in the pool. And so they closed the pool. Well, Howard Johnson hotel chains feel so bad that they are offering a free night, a free stay to anyone named Don Draper. Anyone who comes to the hotel named Don Draper gets a free night on Howard Johnson.
Awesome.
Which is so, it's so brilliant because Howard Johnson's getting all this press for this contest, and how many free rooms are they going to have to give out nationwide? About five?
Yeah, well,
maybe.
I think they did a study. They did an internet people search, And the engine netted 249 Don Drapers in the United States.
And wow. How many of those will hear this message?
That's right.
And go to Hojo's.
Yeah. But we were wondering where Howard Johnson is still popular, where they're still operating. And so that's why I brought the story up, because I wanted to give you a little more information. But in Southern California, there is the Howard Johnson's Plaza Anaheim Resort down by Disneyland. It's a Hojo.
Oh, nice. I had no idea.
Howard Johnson Inn in San Diego near SeaWorld. There's okay. a Hojo there as well. Howard Johnson Inn in Mystic, Connecticut. There's Miami, near the airport in Florida. There's one Portland, Maine. Toms River, New Jersey. Rapid City in South Dakota.
All good vacation destinations.
They are. Arlington Ballpark and Six Flags in Arlington in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the Howard Johnsons that are participating. So go there, get some orange sherbet, and leave your wife behind, I guess.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
We're not talking about the Marriott, David. We're talking about Hojo's. I love Hojo's. E! Entertainment News Network cable channel has announced they are renewing Keeping Up with the Kardashians for another 3 seasons. And for the right to do so, they are paying the Kardashians an estimated $40 million. Has any sentence ever sounded more wrong than what I just said?
I mean, they don't do anything. They don't do anything on that show. What are you watching when you watch them?
They do not toil, the lilies of the field. No. They just primp. This, by the way, I was looking into it. I was misspoken last hour. This does not include any possible spinoffs. Anything else they get spun off from this show will have to be an additional monetary settlement with those people to start a new show.
And I'm sure those kids are going to get, the little ones are going to get
Kendall
their own shows.
Kendall and Kanye or whatever. Yeah,
Kendall and Kanye.
By the way, Kim and Kanye also talk about doing their own reality show.
Oh, of course they are.
Would E love that? If they could get a Kanye West reality show? Yeah. Come on.
I would not be entertained.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Yes, a lot of people are, and that's why E is putting them on the air until well into the 22nd century.
I might have to watch a Kanye West reality show.
Oh, you traitor.
He's way more interesting than P. Diddy.
Yeah, that's true. Mel Gibson looks like his career might be bouncing back, even after his rant about dinner that everyone heard on that audio tape last week. He is said to be joining the cast of Machete Kills, the Machete sequel.
Oh, nice. I could see that.
I could, too. Imagine him screaming at Machete, and then Machete pulls out his machete. And,
this is Machete.
Machete. Yeah. So, Mel Gibson working with Robert Rodriguez, I think, could be fun.
They called him Machete.
Rodriguez and Tarantino both have a great knack for bringing back careers from the dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Tarantino famously did it, of course, with John Travolta and Don Johnson and Rodriguez the same. So, I'd like to see that. And while we're talking about movies, this new Lone Ranger movie continues not to be your grandpa's Lone Ranger.
It seems like it's been going on for a really long time.
Well, it had been in production for a long time. Then they closed it down because of budget issues. Then they sort of started it back up again once they reconfigured the budget. So now it's deep into production.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen the pictures, Lisa, of Armie Hammer as Lone Ranger. Looking sort of classically like the Lone Ranger. Then you got Johnny Depp as Tonto. This is not your traditional Tonto that we're used to.
Really?
It's him with black and white face paint with a crow sitting on his head. He wears a dead crow on his head.
I love
Johnny's
it.
A unique character. But the score, I guess, will not be the classic William Tell overture that we've come to know for the Lone Ranger, because Jack White has been hired to compose the score for the Lone Ranger.
Cool. We're talking to Jaleel White next hour.
No.
We can ask him all about
Jack,
that. That's
Jack,
great timing.
Jack White.
The fact that this announcement came out on the day that we're talking to Urkel is fantastic.
Jack White. Jack White. White Stripes.
Nothing this guy can't do.
The Ombudsman, whatever his band, other bands are.
Yes, that's right, Ralph.
Isn't one of his bands the Ombudsman?
I believe the Raconteurs.
Oh, that's it, the Raconteurs, yeah. Anyway, so Jack White doing the Lone Ranger soundtrack.
Pretty cool.
Although, can you have the Lone Ranger without...
But do you think that will be completely absent? They won't put that in.
Chicken that did it?
I think that's fine.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that theme song.
Maybe
that's the Lone Ranger
somehow.
Music. That's the classic Lone Ranger music. Today's celebrity birds. Oh, we have an answer to my trivia question real quick. Joe.
We do.
Joe on line 7, I believe, knows the other two superheroes that Clint Barton was besides just Hawkeye. Joe? Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Hojo.
Goliath and Ronin.
Goliath and Ronin. That's correct, Joe. Congratulations. Hold on.
Assemble.
We're going to give you all the details. Assemble. You're going to see the Avengers before anybody else. Hold on. We're going to give you the details.
Thanks, right? Ralph.
Thank you, sir. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jason Lee, My Name is Earl, Almost Famous, the Chipmunk movies, he's 42 years old, Renee Zellweger turns 43, Gina Torres from I Think I Love My Wife and from Alias, she's a beautiful, talented actress, is 43, Eric Avery,
yeah, Eric.
Of Jane's Addiction is 47, Hank Azaria, who does so many wonderful voices over there on The Simpsons, is 48, and the legendary Al Pacino celebrates his 72nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, hey Ralph Garman.
Hey Bean Baxter.
Hey Lisa May.
Hello, sorry, I was swallowing coffee.
Just swallowing.
Yeah.
Coffee, people.
Yeah.
It's not coffee. Uh-huh. Here's a somewhat interesting news story. Public policy polling recently surveyed 900
PPP.
Americans. PPP, yes. 900 Americans to ask them what their impressions were of 21 United States cities. Now, I was a little bit surprised by some of the results, but also there's so little context for the answers, like who these people are and whether these people have ever been to the cities to talk about the impressions that they have of, who knows. But they did 21 different cities, and the bottom three cities in terms of unfavorability were Oakland,
well, sure,
Detroit,
Raiders,
which
Lions.
Was dead last, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just NFL fans, right? Maybe you're onto something already. Yeah. And that would also explain why Los Angeles was third from the bottom, because if you're an NFL fan, you don't have much good to say about Los Angeles either. So
third from the bottom.
L.A. was the third worst city ranked by these people?
This was a favorable impressions, exactly, yes. Here's what it says in this article from LAS. The poll taken by Public Policy Polling surveyed 900 Americans to ask them whether they had a favorable or unfavorable opinion of 21 cities. Los Angeles didn't finish last, but we came pretty close. 33% said they had a favorable impression of the city. 40% said they didn't. The rest did not have a strong opinion the other way. Either way. It's kind of hard to tell what a poll like this means since there weren't any follow-up questions. Okay, we said that. We'd like to blame our bad reputation on people who resent West Coast liberals or earthquakes, except that America seems to like San Francisco fine. They were at 48% favorable compared to Los Angeles's 33%. Now, why would that be? Because that was the first thing I thought, is maybe it's just they hate West Coast liberals.
Yeah.
Why is San Francisco so much more highly rated in terms of favorability than Los Angeles?
I mean, you do kind of think of San Francisco as just this beautiful, picturesque city with wonderful food and culture, and I don't know, you don't think of Los Angeles that way.
L.A. has a bad rap, I think, of being cultureless, being shallow and sort of stupid and obsessed with material things. And it is the cradle of entertainment. And if you're a person who thinks that entertainment is crap, mm-hmm. I think you'd be predisposed to think L.A. is crap.
And if you're basing your entire impression on Southern California based on what you see on television and movies, then you're not getting a very realistic representation of what the place is like to
right.
live in.
Right. And most people who've never been here, that's what they do.
One word, I think, can sum up why people hate L.A. Kardashians.
That's why
that's
I hate
hard to argue
LA.
With, by the way.
Yes.
That's pretty legitimate. By the way, we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have a theory as to why Los Angeles would be third on the list of the least favorable cities in America, according to this survey, just ahead of Oakland and Detroit.
That hurts.
That does hurt. Detroit is closed. They just closed Detroit. I don't know if anybody heard, but they just locked the doors on that city. It's over there. It's lights out. Detroit is done, and Oakland is circling the drain, for God's sakes. How can we be in that company?
They go on to say at the LAist article about this poll, we could blame it on people hating big, expensive cities, but America seems to like New York City pretty well at 49%.
Gosh.
We could blame it on people hating our superficial Hollywood values, except that Las Vegas is both better loved at 43% and less hated. Our best guess is that America hates us because we insist on putting V in front of our freeway names, which I thought actually was pretty funny. Speaking of Californians, speaking of the impression that people have around the world, particularly of Southern California. A couple of weeks ago, they did a sketch on Saturday Night Live. I know you don't watch the show, Ralph, but it was called The Californians, mm-hmm. and it was a soap opera. James Brolin is in this sketch. He was the host that week. Or Josh Brolin, I guess. It was Josh Brolin. Catherine Wigg is in the sketch. Bill Hader is in the sketch.
Kristen Wiig's in it?
I can't get any names
oh
right.
My God.
Was it James Brolin and Catherine Wigg? They were both in the sketch?
Well, look, someone has to be Kevin on today's show.
Yeah.
He's not here. But here's a clip of The Californians if you want to see what at least these New Yorkers think of Southern California.
Hey, honey. I brought us some tangerines. This guy was selling them on the off-ramp over by the two. Devin? What are you doing here?
Stuart, why are you him so early?
I skipped Wilshire and took Beverly over to Santa Monica and took that all the way up.
Hey, Stuart, yeah, I just came over to fix the speakers, the outside speakers on the patio.
I think you should go home now, Devin.
There's nothing going on, Stuart.
You should go home. Get back on San Vicente, take it to the 10, then switch over to the 405 North and let it dump you out into Mulholland where you belong.
Stuart, at this time of day, it's going to be jammed. Are you crazy?
That's funny. Oh my God, that's good.
That's
what some New Yorkers think of Los Angeles, but I don't think those are the people that we're talking to in this poll.
Our streets don't smell like pee, New York, so suck it!
Yeah. Let's take a let's go to Sharon first. I tweeted this story a couple of days ago.
Of course,
and Sharon
did.
I thought it was an interesting story. Sharon is calling to say what a lot of my Twitter followers said about the same thing, about their interpretation of what these results mean. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I think it's just one word, it's jealousy. I mean, we have fabulous weather, and if you've been anywhere else in the country, you know they have humidity in the summer and horrible winters. And between the great weather and how expensive it is to live here, and a lot of people can't afford to live here, and then the glamorous side of it, I think that people are really jealous. And just look at the Lakers, wherever they play, it's beat L.A. But the funny thing about it is that people in Los Angeles don't hate all these other cities. I mean, you know, they love New York, they love visiting San Francisco, and so we're open-minded about everywhere else, but everybody seems to have a big chip on their shoulder about us.
I understand what you're saying, and it makes sense, but what confused me is if somebody thinks all those great things about L.A., like if I get the call and I'm in Des Moines, Iowa, okay, and people are asking me what I think about these cities, and I think that Los Angeles has great weather and has pretty people and has great, you know, sports championships and fun things to do, why would I say that I have an unfavorable impression of it? It doesn't make any sense because it seems like that would be something, a place that I would admire and would want to go to.
I don't know. I do think that's a good point. But I think that somebody in Des Moines, Iowa can't afford to live here. And I think that, you know, I think they probably have a lot of resentment.
Yeah, but they can't afford to live in New York either.
Pardon?
They can't afford to live in New York either.
Yeah, but they may,
so
San Francisco.
Like,
or they
San
may
Francisco.
Not covet that lifestyle as much, I think is what Sharon is saying. They look at the palm trees and the beautiful people and the beaches, and they covet that lifestyle, and they know they can't get it, so it frustrates them. And haters be hating.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Sharon, thank you very much for the call. You guys you buy that? You think jealousy is part of it?
I think some of those people who responded might have that feeling, especially she tapped into that sports thing. Everyone does hate the Lakers. A lot of people hate the Dodgers. There is a lot of rivalry across the country with our sports teams that may cause that too.
I think that's true of a lot of the big city sports teams. I mean, don't you think the Knicks get booed when they go on the road?
No.
Don't think it's like the same
they're not
as
a
with
threat.
The
they're not a threat. But they haven't been a champ since the 1400s.
Sharon said it. She says they don't say beat the Kings, beat the Dodgers, or whatever. They say
beat
LA.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Let's take John. He's on line 5, 1-800-520-1067. And again, this poll really doesn't mean anything because there's no follow-up questions to
900
why.
People were asked, too.
It's 900 people, but we don't really know what these people, you know, what they're basing their opinions on. And it's unclear whether any of these people have ever been to any of these cities that they're commenting on as well. But John, you have a theory. What say you?
Well, yeah, that last caller kind of hit it on the nose, you know, thinking about just jealousy and the fact that they can't come over here. But I also think now that the TV, you know, kind of, it doesn't portray us, but that's what, you know, a lot of people think, like the Kardashians, Jesus, I don't know what the hell's going on with there. But it's just the fact that they watch TV from other states and they think, you know, like Kardashian, that's how everyone in Southern California is, which is kind of like, you know, retarded in a sense, but I mean, you know,
well,
that's
your impression,
kind of hit that, you know.
Right.
But I think it's fair. Between the Hills and the Kardashians and all those reality shows, we do look like a bunch of douchebags.
And the Californians. Let's not forget the Californians.
Yeah, right.
But people are watching these shows because they want to see those fabulous people, those beautiful people in their exciting lives, though,
so
right?
So they love to hate us, in a sense, you know? So they'd rather give us a bad rep and say they hate us more than they like a place that they can't even go or they know they will probably never live in. Yeah.
Listen, if I could only base what I thought about California on The Hills, I would hate us too.
Right.
I mean, I hate that show, but I would watch it because I liked watching pretty people in clothes and stuff.
Isn't your opinion of New Jersey taken down a peg because of the Jersey Shore?
Yes. Absolutely.
That's a great point. Yeah. Even though, thank you very much for the call, John. Appreciate that. Even though I've been to New Jersey, several places in New Jersey. Of course, Ralph, you've been there a lot.
Yeah.
So it's there are places that are beautiful in New Jersey.
The Garden State.
I don't think of it that way. I've never been there, but I sure don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
Other cities, before we break and come back with more calls, other cities on this list that are both better loved and less hated than Los Angeles include Chicago, Boston, sure. Atlanta, Philadelphia, Miami, Houston, Dallas, New Orleans, Phoenix, Salt Lake City, and Baltimore.
Just say all.
More calls from you coming up next on this on the Kevin and Bean Show. From Dancing with the Stars, Jaleel White joins us in minutes, but that's not what he's on to talk about. He's the host of a bizarre new show called Blackout.
Oh, I can't wait for Blackout.
We'll do that here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we're talking about this new poll, 900 Americans surveyed with the favorable or unfavorable opinion of 21 U.S. cities. Los Angeles did not finish last, but they were third from the bottom, behind only Detroit and Oakland. The question is, why do so many people dislike Los Angeles? And by the way, Lisa, before I hear your theory, and we'll take a couple more calls. We're almost out of time already. I think the best thing in the world is if people around the country hate your city. If they've never been there and they hate it, because then they won't move there.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I mean, seriously, look, I haven't mentioned this because it's not relevant to the conversation, but in case you're wondering, number one and two on this survey for popular cities, Seattle number one, Portland number two.
Wow.
Yet I talk to people all the time who say, oh my God, I could never live in Seattle. It must suck there because of the weather, right?
This may be one of those polls where people just give answers that they think sound right and then do something else.
Maybe. But I just think every time somebody says the weather sounds like it sucks there, I go, yep, sure does, because then they don't move here, and then they don't know the real truth, that the weather is actually pretty moderate up here.
And conversely, despite what this poll says, people just keep streaming into Los Angeles.
Yes, there's no shortage of people who don't agree with this poll who actually move there. All right, we're going to go to Nick, but Lisa, you have a theory that's been percolating over the last few minutes.
Well, very quickly, I think all these people that don't live in places like Boston and New York understand our disdain for where they live, and they react to that. Like, we talk about the flyover states, we just dismiss 99% of the country as that place sucks where we live is so much better.
Well, because we're right.
Well, I believe we're right, too.
Because Kansas blows. Kansas blows.
So they may
don't get me started.
Pick up on that a little bit.
Juliana tweets to the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, hey, it's because we're more awesome, smarter, better looking, funnier, and more advanced than the rest of the country. And Juliana, that's the attitude that gets the rest of the country to hate you.
Because we're snots. Right.
David here writes in, I thought this was great, because we don't have a food, he says. New York has pizza. Chicago's hot dogs. Philly has cheese sticks. We got nothing.
That's not true. We have the bacon-wrapped hot dog.
Oh.
No.
He's wrong.
And you can look at Mug and see that he believes in that with all his heart. All right, let's take Nick real quick. 1-800-520-1067. What's going on here, dude? Why do so many people around the country have an unfavorable opinion of Los Angeles, according to this poll?
You know what? I'm a third-generation Los Angelean, and I think the impression people get when they meet me, they're like, hey, you're pretty cool. You're from L.A., and I'm like, you know, that's because I'm a native. I think a lot of transplants sometimes give it a bad name. You know, you get these people that come out here, unfortunately, for the entertainment, and they come from, like, Kansas, they come from Iowa, and they were wearing their, you know, their flannels and their hats. Next thing you know, they throw them away, and they got on their Affliction t-shirts. They're getting tatted up. They're hitting the clubs. They're like,
but there are plenty of natives who dress the same way and act the same way that you're talking about. That's just people.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, I don't know. I was going to Sunset when it was 1920, and I was kind of over it. And there's so much more to do here. I think a lot of people, unfortunately, see that facade of, like you said, the Kardashians. Hey, I live in Woodland Hills. I live right near them, and I can't stand them. You know, trust me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm done seeing those people. But I think that's what gives it a bad rap. But there's a lot more people out here. They're good people. And unfortunately, people get caught up. They come out here, and they want to get famous.
Is anyone following Nick? Anyone making any heads or tails of what Nick's saying?
No, not really. Okay. Because the Kardashians are third generation. Angelinos, too, by the way.
That's a good point.
If you were a third generation, you know it's Angelino, not Los Angelin.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate
Thanks,
it very
Nick.
Much. Please stop talking.
Out
Let's go
head.
To Manny. Manny is on line one. He joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Manny, what's going on with this poll, dude?
Diversity. I think that's key right there.
How so?
Explain?
Well, aside from New York, there's not much diversity in some of those major cities in the sense that everything's pretty secularized in like Chicago and New Orleans, whereas L.A. is just everything's
stuck together aside from like the super posh cities like, you know, Beverly Hills, Malibu. For the most part,
wait, so is what you're saying is what you're saying that you think a lot of these people who were polled are white people who don't like Los Angeles because they think it's too diverse, because there are too many different types of people, too many races and whatnot?
I guess so many of what they're used to is not how do I explain this? So what they're used to is not
badly
is, not very,
is how you explain it. Thank you very much for the call. And by the way, I'd like to point out that Oakland and Detroit are the bottom two on the list, and that they're virtually all black. So I don't even know what he's talking about here. Let's do one more.
Yeah, like Lisa says, if you're going to bitch about diversity, New York certainly would fall in that category as well.
I think he's saying that people are creeped out by our diversity.
Too many races.
Is that it?
It's a mix of the races.
I don't know.
It's a big cauldron of race mixing.
I think I've talked to two people in the world and I have, in a row, I have no idea what they're talking about.
This is
about.
The
That's
problem.
What I
we
think.
Make no sense and people hate that.
We dumb. L.A. be dumb.
Marissa is going to get the final word on line 7. You are our last call. Thanks for dialing in. What's going on?
Hi, Marissa.
Oh, sorry. I heard Nicole for some reason.
Oh,
sorry.
No problem.
No, Marissa, okay, it's up to you.
No, I sadly agree. People are really mean here.
People
like,
are
no
mean?
Oh, yeah, they're really mean. They're really impolite. Everybody sucks at driving. there's always traffic. And everybody's just really mean. And I think that when people come and visit, they get that, you know, a-hole that, like, cuts them off in the freeway or, you know, like, bumps into them, like, when they're walking in Hollywood, and they're just like, oh my God, these people suck. And I can, like, personally, I would never move out of California because I've been here forever. I would never move out of the, like, Los Angeles area because I love the fact that I can go an hour and go snowboarding and then go an hour and go to the beach. Mm-hmm. But I can understand why people think that it sucks because some of the people really suck.
Well, it does. We do not welcome people into our homes easily like they do in the Midwest, I think.
But
it
again, I bring
up
New York. If you're
going to
bitch about rude people and traffic.
No, they're
and
nice in New York, actually.
No, it's worse.
My experiences in New York have always been really positive.
Well, my experience in L.A. have been positive. But in terms of the impression of that a city has, do you think New York has a reputation for being a warm, welcoming, friendly city?
No, but I think that L.A., I know for a fact it's much harder to make friends here than it is in other places.
And
it takes longer. People
yeah,
are not.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We'll leave it there. I love Marissa, by the way. I would never move out of California. She sounds like she was on the California soap opera that we were
leaving. Leave her alone.
She sounds hot, too, by the way. Don't
yes,
get me wrong. She
exactly.
definitely sounds
Thank
hot.
You.
All right. We're going to take a break. Thank you very much for the call, Marissa. We appreciate it. A very quick break. I don't even think we'll have time to play a song because we're going to get right to Mr. Jaleel White because he's on Blackout. And you don't know television until you hear about Blackout. That's coming up next right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Our weekly visit with Adam Carolla coming up later on today here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Eddie Ift is going to be joining us. And we've got your tickets in the pit for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta happening Saturday, May 5th. All right, the show debuts tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel at 10 o'clock. It is called Total Blackout. Jaleel White is the host of the show. All the challenges are played in complete darkness. Listen to this. This will give you an idea of what we're talking about.
Ah! Oh, yeah! What is that? I'm not moving! Ah! Oh, my God!
I'm Jaleel White, and this is Total Blackout, the sci-fi competition series where real people face extreme challenges in complete darkness.
A toilet seat! Oh, hell no!
What are you doing? Wait! Calm down! What are you doing?
There's a lot of screaming going on in this show, Ralph.
Oh, man, am I looking forward to this show. I saw some of the original episodes from, I guess, Denmark is where the original show is from. And it is the ultimate mind F to watch what they put these people through in this game. It's hysterical.
Jaleel White is the host of the show again tonight at 10 on Sci-Fi. He is carving out some time for us from his very busy Dancing with the Stars schedule. Hey, Jaleel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good, Jaleel.
Hey, first of all, hey, nice job pushing Gladys Knight out of the competition. Way to beat up on an old woman, man. I want to kick her down the stairs. What's up?
I didn't do that. That was Rashawn Fagan, and I can give you the number of his representation.
Okay, well, congratulations. You're doing great on the show, but I we're very excited about this Total Blackout. Ralph has been talking you up. This is a bizarre, bizarre show, isn't it?
I know, man. It's fun, though, man. It really is. Everybody comes on, sometimes think that it's Fear Factor, but it's not. It's kind of like Fear Factor meets Punk'd.
Yeah, the genius of this show, I think, Jaleel, is the fact that you don't make people do the crazier things that are in their minds. I mean, they think stuff's going on that's not really even happening, and that's the fun part to watch.
Yeah, other than like, you know, touching snakes and stuff like that, you know, some of the usual stuff that you would think. Half the stuff is just people's, you know, own imaginations being their own worst enemy.
Yeah, now what is it they think is going to happen? Because I was watching this episode that's going to air tonight,
right.
And they're walking into a completely pitch black room, and I think they're surprised at just how dark it is, and they have no context whatsoever what's going on. But do you, like, put ideas in their mind to think that they might be in some sort of danger or something might bite them? Because they just walk in there so tentatively, like they're afraid anything might happen.
Nah, man, we don't put anything extra in their minds. I mean, if anything, you know, we definitely make sure that they're fully equipped to understand the challenge in front of them. We have a psychiatrist on the show to speak to them before and after. you know, the one thing about darkness people don't understand is that it's all about spatial awareness. So when you turn off the lights in a room, generally you kind of know where everything is because you have a mental snapshot of that room. But these people, they don't have that mental snapshot. They're just ushered into a room. They don't know how big the room is. They don't know where anything is located in the room. And they literally cannot see their hand in front of their face.
Yeah.
This is amazing technology, though. It doesn't look like, you know, the Paris Hilton sex tape night vision. It doesn't look like that. I mean, it's almost like watching them in a fully lighted room to us, the home viewer, yet it's pitch dark. Like, I don't even know how they do that, but it's amazing to look at.
That's kind of cool, right? What was even better was I would sometimes put on the night vision goggles and I'd go in there and I'd stand next to the cameraman while it was going on.
And the goal is that they're supposed to identify as many objects as you put in front of them in the room, and whoever gets the most wins, right?
Yeah, but it's not just identify. We have great challenges, man. We have crazy challenges. We have one challenge where we put two people in a plexiglass maze. And they have to find two cheese wheels. But the thing about the cheese wheels is they're also mice and they're looking for the same cheese wheel.
Yeah, when you reach out and a mouse runs across your hand, that freaks you out a little bit.
It freaks them out. Yeah.
Ralph, you said that you were interested in being a part of this show.
I auditioned for Jaleel's gig. I was one of the people that they brought in to read for being one of the hosts. And
get out of here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was so impressed by the original show. I guess Denmark is where it's from, right, Jaleel?
Yeah.
The original
version.
And when I was looking at it, I said, this is going to, whoever ends up on this gig is going to be a great time. It sounds like you're having a blast.
I had a really good time, man. The only thing was we worked a lot of long hours, and you always hated seeing the second place person at like 2-3 in the morning.
Sure.
I wonder the
second place guy, man, just the looks they shot you as a host, it's just like I can kill you right now.
I wonder what those contestants are going to feel like, Jaleel, when they watch this show tonight and they see them like that one guy on the show tonight who's jumping up and down and waving his arms like he's a penguin or something like that and squealing and everything because he's trying to touch a pineapple. I mean, if he knew how ridiculous the task was in front of him, how easy it was and how safe it was, and he is just freaking out, it must be hilarious to see what those people think afterward.
Well, I think in hindsight, people really enjoy seeing themselves on TV so much, he'll probably have a big party. At the time, he wasn't even thinking party.
No,
you're right. You're right. Well, Total Blackout is the name of the show. It airs tonight at 10 on the Sci-Fi Channel. And what are we down to in Dancing with the Stars? You've got to be in, like, what, the top six or something now? Or
yeah, there's seven of us left.
Wow.
How are you feeling at this point in the competition? I mean, you probably feel like you've run a marathon, right?
I definitely feel like I'm in like mile 18 or something, and I got a lot of fast Ethiopian guys on my heels.
are you miserable as a contestant on that show? Is it just like you wake up again tomorrow and go, I got to go dance another 6 hours today?
You know, the only thing about the show that really stinks, man, is that the scores and the success of it is so short-lived.
Right.
So it's like people come up to you, you're like, congratulations, you got tens. I'll see you rehearsal tomorrow for 6 hours.
It's like being an athlete. You win the game, but you don't get a chance to enjoy it very long before you have to go and get ready for the next game, right?
Exactly, man. So I'm enjoying the experience, though, just because I'm kind of actually shocked at myself. I didn't know I could do this. My mom just leaned on me to give it a shot. And I'm happy she did. I had no idea how big this show was, though, man. I can't go anywhere right now without people coming up to me and commenting on this show. I cannot go anywhere.
Well, you know what? The ultimate crossover, dude. See if you can talk them into doing all of your dances next week in total darkness.
We'll
you are a fool. old for that.
That'd be the best, right? All right. Total Blackout, Sci-Fi Tonight at 10, and then Dancing with the Stars airs on Monday nights on ABC. Thanks, Jaleel. Thanks for the time, man.
All right. Take care,
fellas. Still to come this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, the beautiful Alison Brie will be rejoining us, this time talking about her film Five-Year Engagement. Yeah. How much do we love her?
Love her cheese.
Also, Death... Wow.
What?
File.
I'm just saying.
Her name's Alison Brie. It has nothing to do with cheese, and you know it.
How do you know?
Dexter and Noodles from The Offspring are going to be world premiering their new song on Friday. Adam Goldberg joins us. Danny Putty from Community. Bill Shatner is going to be on the show. Funny man Jay Moore tomorrow. And Eddie Ift comes up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Ift. First Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the beat, I have tickets to give away to our very special advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers.
Yeah!
One of the most anticipated films of the year, by far. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, May the 4th. You will get to see it on May the 1st. That, if I do my math correctly, is a whole 3 days before everyone else gets to see it. AMC Century City 15 is where we're doing it. If you'd like to go, I'm giving these tickets away to real Avengers fans, not just anybody. So here's your trivia question. If you know the right answer, it can get through first with that answer at 1-800-520-1067. You will get to go to see the advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers. Here's your trivia question. In the first issue of the Avengers comic book, 1963, Avengers number one, the heroes band together to battle what supervillain? The heroes first got together. The Avengers first assembled, if you will, to battle what supervillain? 1-800-520-1067.
Ryan Gosling.
Yes. Nice. You just gave away the answer. Good work, Bean. Thank you. They all banded together to battle the dreaded Gosling.
Girth.
Gosling would be a good superhero name, actually.
Would be.
Baby Goose. You have to dress up like a baby goose.
I don't think that's a good name. I am the Gosling.
You have to make that noise and flap your fuzzy wings.
Obviously. And his mortal enemy would be Duckman.
That's right. President Obama continues to delight and entertain me. This time on the Jimmy Fallon Show, showed up on Tuesday night. Jimmy was there at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. He was there because the president was there. The president was going to address the students of that university and students everywhere talking about issues that concern them, most particularly the interest rate hike that some people are proposing onto the loans, the student loans and grants that students use to go to school. Obama's of the school of thought that this is not the right time to make further education more expensive for people, and he wants to hold off on those interest rate hikes. Which would, I think, double. I think it would double the interest rate for student loans.
It's appalling.
Which is crazy. So hard to pay now, but just with the rates as they are, you know.
The president said this week, Ralph, and this was stunning to me, that he just paid off his student loans 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. He's the freaking president of the United States. He just paid off his loans 8 years ago.
That's craziness. So he shows up, and Jimmy Fallon does this bit, you know, where Jimmy slow jams the news.
Yes.
Oh, it's funny.
And so he was going to slow jam the news, and out walks President Barack Obama to join him on stage. And they slow jammed the news together. Here's a little piece of audio for you.
And that means some hardworking students will be paying about $1,000 extra just to get their education. So I've called on Congress to prevent this from happening.
Oh, yeah.
You should listen to the president. Or as I like to call him, the Preezy of the United Steezy. Things were heating up inside Congress's chambers behind all those closed doors. So the president made a few discreet calls across the aisle. He said, hey, let's get together on this one.
The Preezy of the United Steezy.
I like it.
Some people in the media debating this week saying that Obama's appearance on the Fallon Show has diminished the role of the president of the United States, has made it look cheesy.
Look, he has done a lot of things that have not been old school presidential. You know, singing Al Green the other day, and I don't know if you saw him this week posing like doing the Heisman Trophy statue look.
Did you see that?
Where he did the arms? And it. I mean, he does some crazy stuff, but he's also young. He's a young dude. I think that's why.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also think the president, the role of president, has to adapt and change with the electorate. You know, this isn't the 50s anymore. This isn't Eisenhower, and we don't live in that world. I think you have to be telegenic. I think you have to reach people in a different and new way, especially students and younger people. You have to kind of go where they are. You can't wait for them to come to you. So,
absolutely.
I mean, he's doing what he has to do to connect up with his with his constituents, I think, but that's just me.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Now, come on, Barack, I'm on your side. Why are you going to call me that? I think Christina, a girl has the answer to my trivia question for the Avengers, Bean, and well, it's not even Ladies' Day.
Let's see if she does.
Christina?
Hi.
Hi there. How are you, my darling? Are you a comic book fan?
Sorry, no, really.
What?
Are you calling for your boyfriend, husband, brother,
he's
father?
Right here.
Yeah. How about that?
That ain't right.
Dial the phone
he's
for him.
That ain't right. He's driving.
How about that?
All right.
Ralph, anything you want to say now?
I want to say, Christina, you are a disgrace. You're a disgrace to all comic book fans.
What was the question? And let's see if she got force-fed the correct answer.
The question was, in Avengers number one, the very first comic book the Avengers appeared in, why did they gather together? What supervillain did they band together to battle? What's the answer, Christina?
Loki
is correct. Thor's brother, of course. Just like in the movie, they get together to battle Loki in this film as well. Well, tell your boyfriend he is getting to go to an advanced screening of the Avengers, and I hope he takes someone else and not you.
Okay.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you.
These boys sound very nice, but they're clearly nerds.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jason Lee from My Name is Earl, Almost Famous, and many feature films, is 42 years old. Renee Zellweger turns 43.
Gina, can you believe that somebody complained Renee Zellweger was not getting a bell?
No.
Like, what decade are they calling from?
Those bell days.
That complaint.
Bell days are gone.
Right?
Yeah. Although they are talking about Bridget Jones 3.
You want to see that would be fun, but that has nothing to do with the bell.
No, yeah, she still has the I just smelled a fart face.
Yeah.
Gina Torres from I Think I Love My Wife and from Alias and other feature films. She is 43 years old. Eric Avery of Jane's Addiction is 47 years old. Hank Azaria from The Simpsons turns 48. And Al Pacino is 72 years old. Is that possible? Al Pacino is 72? Maybe we should talk to him tomorrow and see how he celebrated his
birthday.
Definitely. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, Eddie Ift. How are you, man?
Hello there, Bean. How are you?
Eddie Ift is one of our faves, as you know. He was on April Foolishness a couple of weeks ago at the Gibson Amphitheater. Now you can see him on stage at the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. Two big shows, 8 and 10 o'clock. Tickets are on sale now through HollywoodImprov.com. April Foolishness was a good time this year, huh?
I don't remember a lot of it because you guys put tequila in our dressing rooms, and that's what I drink. That's my thing. I was at the bar buying drinks, and somebody goes, "What are you doing?" Jim Jeffries came up to me and goes, "What are you doing? There's tequila in your room." And I went, "I'll go see you." And the next thing I know, the next morning I said to my girlfriend, I go, "How did we get home?" I really don't remember coming.
Do you remember being on stage?
Yeah, I can honestly say, and I'm not joking, it was probably the most fun show I've ever done. I've been doing comedy 16 years. Thank you very much.
But we hear that a lot from people who are on the Foolishness belt because I think there two things are happening. One is there's lots of other comedians that you're usually either friends with or are excited to meet or have just great respect for. And two is, God bless the Kevin and Bean audience who come out. Yeah. You don't have to win them over. They are already there for you. They're ready to laugh the minute you hit the stage.
I've never seen a show that long that the people still laugh, like that stay and love it and appreciate everything and can sit through Larry King. And,
well, that's where we put him first.
I liked Larry's.
I loved him
too, but you don't want to put him last.
Just as a comedian, you've seen so many things like that where somebody goes, "I'm going to do stand up," and they think it's easier than it is.
Yeah.
And you're like, "This is not going to go well." This, you know, you're going to watch your dad bomb or something. And Larry, we're all watching, like, and we're pulling for him. And he did. He pulled through. He was funny. Yeah.
He had a funny story with good timing.
Yeah, really good. And then he brought out the trophy wife, and that was
just slayed me. That whole thing.
She's hot.
Yeah,
she's way hot, and she's like 80 years younger than him.
Yeah,
too.
I know. I'm just
a foot taller.
Did you talk to Eddie Izzard at all? Because I know for a lot of comedians, he's a legend.
Yeah, he is a legend, and I told him how my name's Eddie Ift, and so like I used to work in Britain a lot.
Oh, you did?
And when I would go on stage, comedians wouldn't even see me. You know, they'd introduce me, and they'd be like, "Wow, Eddie Izzard's popping in." So they would introduce me and be like, "Eddie Izzard," and the crowd would go crazy, just like in America if Chris Rock pops in or Seinfeld. They're like, "Yay!" And then I walk on stage, and everyone's like, "Well, Eddie Ift? Ift? Why? Why? Who is this thing?"
God, that's brutal.
Yeah, it's weird. I thought having this name would be good to go into comedy with a name like Ift, and then I found out there was another Eddie Izzard.
Yes.
That was bigger and more famous.
You were a constant disappointment to them before you even opened the mouth.
Yeah. Especially because he used to wear a dress on stage. So
yes.
I'd walk in and they're like, oh, really? He's not a transvestite anymore. We just kept talking backstage, all of us. It was Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, and I watching Brad Williams. And we just kept going, who wants to go on after this? Nobody's going to be able to follow that.
And Tim Minchin, who came out after Brad, he was the poor unlucky guy who drew the short straw. He came out and he said, well, I'd give anything to have a gimmick like Brad, which I thought was a hilarious lie. But it was just so weird. I mean, I never know how it is with – I don't know anything about show business. I mean, I live on a farm in Washington, for God's sakes. I am so far out of the loop here, Eddie. But I didn't know how you guys – I mean – at one point backstage, you know, you were there and Jay Moore was there and John Stamos was there and Bob Saget was there and Brad was there and Eddie. And everybody was just hanging out like they were at a dinner party. Like, I couldn't believe that these are guys that are getting ready to go out on stage and perform for 6,000 people because it just seems so casual and just fun.
It actually makes it easier when there's no pressure like that, because sometimes we do shows where they'll be like NBC, CBS, MTV, HBO. They're all in the audience. And you're like, great. Do you have other underwear? Because I but this was more like you wanted to be backstage. They were like, you have to go on. I'm like, I don't want to go on. I'm having fun back here.
Yeah.
I was talking to John Stamos and Jay Moore and John Stamos and Bob Saget were having a conversation, and I walked into it. And then I just realized halfway through it, I go, oh, this is syndication money conversation.
Ah.
I don't – you guys are talking about Bentleys and things.
I can't be in this talk.
By the way, John Stamos, ridiculously good-looking in person.
Yep.
Like crazy, like you can't even believe he's real, right?
Yeah, I opened with how he and Psycho Mike were having a good-looking competition backstage. Yes. Just staring at each other going, huh? 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 It's fun, isn't it? It's great. Life's been good, hasn't it?
What would it be like to be him, to wake up again today and still get to walk out the house and look like him? What would that be like?
I have no idea. Look at me.
Well, look at all of us. I'm just saying. I just can't even imagine how different your life would be.
I know, but I think it would probably get old really quickly, and then you'd probably start pulling stuff like Rob Lowe, you know, because women would just be like throwing themselves at you constantly. And after a while, you just get sick of it.
You can only have so much sex with supermodels before it gets tiring.
I know. He's probably waiting for us to find life on another planet where he can be the ugly guy.
Yeah. Did you know Brad Williams very well before that?
I know Brad well. He's been on our podcast many times. And when I met Brad years ago, I first had him, on the podcast, and he told a story about taking a girl home in Reno and finding out she was a prostitute, and she in the middle of sex, punched him in the face and stole his money.
The
funniest story I'd ever heard in my life. And I'm like, this guy's crazy. And he was always talking about like how good he was with women. And we like to bring him on to show we have the Mongs, we call them, and the people that work for us. And we have a running count of how often they've gotten laid this year. And between like six of them, it's at one. and Brad tops that in a night, and he's a little person. And we're like, see, it doesn't matter how much money you have or your looks or anything. It's like, it's confidence. And Brad said we had him on the other night, and he was explaining that how are you so good with women? And he goes, you know what it is? He goes, they don't feel threatened by me.
You know, that's probably true.
Yeah, because they can take me home, and I'm like a
little
cuddly
doy, a doll that they have.
Yeah, when he was on stage, I looked over, and he was just – I've never seen someone kill like that. And he's on stage just getting like a standing ovation. I lean over to Jay Moore, and I go, it's like watching Dunham without Dunham.
I love that.
It was a great night, and I can't thank you enough for being part of it, though, man. We really, really look forward to it. I mean,
did you guys raise like $1 billion for Winged Warrior?
I think it was just under that, just under $1 billion. Yeah. I think is the official actual total. No, it's a lot of money. It's a big, big check to Wounded Warriors and also to Cedars-Sinai NICU. So it's great causes, and the comedians give their time for free. And I'm already excited about next week. You know, we always get our little wish list going of people that we want to get. And what was this, Lisa? The fourth year, fifth year,
I think this was the fourth year.
Fourth year, and every year we love it just as much or more. You know, yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful night. So, all right, Eddie F. is here. We're going to take a quick break. Improv, Hollywood Improv, Saturday night. It's you got some friends coming with you down for this?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of people are on the show with me. Brian Callen, Matt Kirshen, Mo Mandel is on the show. There's like three different comedians each show before me, like some of my favorites. So it's
Eddie F.
awesome.
Is great on stage. If you weren't lucky enough to see him at Foolishness, if you've never seen the act, you got to check him out at the Hollywood Improv. Saturday night, April 28th, two shows at 8 and 10. Tickets available through HollywoodImprov.com. And, of course, the podcast with Jim Jefferies is Jim and Eddie Talk. We'll be right back with Eddie on the Kevin Beach. It's the sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta happening on Cinco de Mayo at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We could not be more excited to welcome Coldplay back. Also, Incubus, Silver Sun Pickups, Pennywise, Angels and Airwaves, The Dirty Heads, Garbage, and so much more. The Offspring is on that bill, and we're looking for Offspring fans right now to give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. It turns out that our little friend Chip, Lisa May, is the world's biggest Offspring fan. Did you know that?
Well, I do, because she has a tattoo to prove it.
You can ask her any question about the Offspring, and if you think you can stump Chip with Offspring trivia, we're going to take your calls coming up next at 1-800-520-1067. That's your way into the Weenie Roast. Eddie Heft is in studio with us right now this Saturday night. He's going to be on stage at the Hollywood Improv. Two big shows, 8 and 10, Eddie Heft plus special guests. Go to HollywoodImprov.com. I hesitate to ask you this on the air, Eddie.
But we must know.
I got an email from the beautiful Jolene, Miss Double D, Joanna.
Oh, boy.
She wrote to us, and she said, hey, thanks for April Foolishness. Had a great time. I met Eddie backstage, and he and Jim Jefferies invited me to come on their podcast. What do you think? And I thought, in my mind, I'm thinking, I doubt it's a gang rape. I mean, I think they probably just want to have her, you know, she's a hot chick. It'd be fun to have her on the podcast, right?
It's really tough getting girls on our show because April Macy named our house the Rape Cottage.
Right, and that's not enticing to a young lady.
Right, so it's like when we send a, hey, would you like to come to the Rape Cottage? So it was... it's not easy getting them there, but what happened was,
they certainly can't leave once you tie them up.
Exactly. two of our Hmongs, Jason and Farside, because he looks like a Farside character.
Oh, he, nice.
Does. Yeah, he really does. They both fell in love with her, and they were fighting over her at the show. They were the guys we brought with us. They wanted to come to the show, and we said, you can't come unless you wear tuxedos. They said, we can't afford tuxedos. So we said, we'll get you tuxedos. So we had a body painter come over and paint them naked into body paint tuxedos.
And they were all over the place,
right?
In April Foolishness. Yeah. You had to see them. They looked amazing.
And so they backstage... I was saying they were more confident than I've ever seen them in their lives.
Because they were in tuxes.
Like, these two never get laid, ever. And all of a sudden, they were like Casanova, and they were sitting there talking to girls. So they're both fighting over this girl. And I'm like, do you realize you're both naked right now?
And it's not pretty.
But she gave them both her phone number.
Really?
Yeah, so on our podcast a couple weeks ago, we called her. Jim called from one phone and I called from the other. And we both tried to, like, I'm like, hey, I'm calling for Farside. And he's like, I'm calling for Jason. Call back the one you like. And she didn't call either of them. So that's when we bombarded her and we're like, you have to come on the show. So she came on the show and we did the dating game. And we had her choose which one of them she wanted to have. We told her that we had paid for an all-inclusive trip to Catalina where they were flying via helicopter.
Oh, my God. You guys are bastards.
Yeah, we didn't do that. So,
Of course not.
We're a podcast. We don't have money.
Whatever.
So she chose Farside over Jason.
Really?
But it turns out I think she kind of chose Brad Williams over both of them.
Okay, no.
Please explain, because we've heard
something
about that as well. Yes,
yeah, a little something.
Is that a yes? Is it a little something? Is that a love connection?
Word on the street is we tried to get her back to the rape. This sounds terrible. We tried to get her back to the rape cottage. We tried to get her back to the house. I when I get drunk, I throw parties, and after April Foolishness, I think I made an announcement on the microphone to the crowd that there was a party at my house. So I was like, come on, come back to the house. And she's like, yeah, okay. And I see Brad Williams getting in like a limo going, no, we're going to my hotel. And she left with Brad.
But and Brad was there. Came with somebody.
Yeah, he was there with a really attractive really, young woman,
yes.
too.
Apparently, was that's she a, in the limo as well?
Apparently that's a skill of Brad, you know?
What?
Yeah, I mean, some girls, you know, have that thing.
So he left with two ladies?
Yeah, I mean, after saying? That dance, Lisa May, you should know.
Well, I'm pregnant.
to announce that right now.
Look, there's barely enough of Brad to go around for one full-size woman.
I
now
know.
We're talking about two?
I know. I think he just makes every guy that can't get laid so angry. Oh. They're like...
Of course. So wait. So what you're telling me is you think there may have been a threesome with Miss Double December, Brad Williams, and his lady.
I'm not saying there was. Or they, you know, we had Brad on our podcast... actually, Tuesday, our episode, I think, that's up right now.
Okay.
Brad was our guest. Brad wasn't our guest. This is where Jim says that I'm evil. Tanya Lee Davis, who is a little person, was our guest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured, you know, why just have one? So
Brad
So I said, hey, Brad, Tanya Lee's going to be on the show. Would you like to be on? And he went, yeah. And then I called another friend of mine that's a little person, Nick Nowicki. And I said, would you like to be on? And he was like, yeah. And I didn't tell any of them that they were going to be on. And it was like a reunion of the little people.
Oh, my
and
God.
And Doug Benson walked in the house and saw it going on. He's like, what is going on here? Why? What, Eddie? And I'm like, welcome to Snow White's house.
Yep. And he must have just thought he was just super high that day. He walked in and saw three little people running around. All right. Well, we're going to have to follow up with both Miss Double D Joanna and with Brad, because that's awesome if that happens.
Yeah, I'd like to know a little more.
Yeah. You guys are matchmakers, you and Kevin and Bean.
No kidding. Well, she was fun on the podcast, though. She's got a great personality.
She was great. She was great.
She's amazing, yeah. All right. We're out of time, unfortunately, Eddie. We love having you down here. You know
thanks
that.
Thanks for having me.
I wish we had more time, but we're giving away Weenie Rose tickets for Offspring people next. But EddieEft.com is the website. The podcast is JimAndEddieTalk.com. And, of course, the Hollywood Improv is this coming Saturday night. That's going to be two shows at 8 and 10 with Eddie and special guests, HollywoodImprov.com. Do us a favor. Go out and support our man, Eddie. Go see him in concert this Saturday night. You will not regret it. Thanks for coming in, dude.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Woo! Rock and roll! Yeah. 8:41 on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about the Weenie Roast? How about the sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta happening on Cinco de Mayo? One of the bands that is playing this year is The Offspring.
Woo!
Chip, what's your deal with The Offspring? Since you were a little kid, they've been your band, right?
Yeah, I think I've been listening to them about 20 years now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I know you're friends with them on Twitter, and they're the ones who broke... In fact, you're the one who broke the news to the world that the Offspring album was finished, if I recall. I believe they wrote to you and said, hey, get off our necks. We're coming in.
Yeah, it was a response that you made. You're like, hey, less hot sauce, more music.
So we're very excited about new Offspring music Friday. Dexter and Noodles are going to be stopping by with a world premiere of their brand new song. Right now, though, if you want to see the Offspring at the Weenie Roast, Chip is your girl you got to go through. Do you have an Offspring trivia question? 1-800-520-106. It's time to stump Chip.
You know you want the tickets to Winnie. Don't be a stupid fool, don't be a stupid dummy. Well, this is how you do it. You have to stump Chip. So make your questions good and make sure they're legit.
Stump Chip, baby. Winnie, Winnie. Stump Chip, baby. Winnie, Winnie. Stump Chip, baby. Winnie, Winnie.
And all you have to do is stump Chip.
For Winnie Roast tickets.
1-800-520-1067. If you're able to stump Chip, you go into the drawing. Lisa May, you'll keep track of who stumps her, right?
Yes.
All right. We'll start with line one. Let's go with our man Hector to get us going here with an Offspring question. Hector, you are on the air. Can you stump Chip? Good luck.
Okay. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
The question is, Dexter received a PhD from what school in what?
Ooh. Here's the thing. He never got the PhD. He was all but dissertation. He quit it. He quit right when Smash came out. But
how
it was in microbiology, though, he was going for.
He did go back, and he ended up getting his master's degree in molecular biology.
But that's not a PhD, though.
That's not a PhD, though.
Yes, you tried to trick her, and she got you.
Voted. Boom.
Nice.
Thank you, Hector. You were not able to stump Chip. Boy, the authority, too, in her voice, by the way. Chip was having none of it, was she?
Let's
go to Sarah on line five. Interesting question. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You're an Offspring fan. Can you stump Chip? Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
In the music
video, Pretty Fly for a White Guy, what was the actor's name of the white guy?
Oh. Guy? Guy Cohen.
That is correct.
Yeah! Yeah!
What? Very impressive. Thank you very much.
Oh my God. Boom.
Wow. Let's go to Caesar. Caesar's on line three. Offspring trivia questions, trying to stump Chip, who, by the way, I don't think we mentioned, has an enormous Offspring tattoo that's about half of her body size.
Yep. I also have a
stump Chip, baby. Weenie.
You also have a what, Chip?
It's big because my arm is so tiny, but yeah.
Exactly.
It's her whole arm.
It's my whole arm.
Yeah.
All right, Caesar, what do you got for Chip? Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was going to go with where they're from, but, you know, that's too easy for her. So what was the original name of their band before it was Offspring?
Ah, good question. Hey, but why'd you put where the band come from on the phone screener?
He changed his mind.
He changed his mind.
Like,
okay.
He heard how good you were.
Manic Subsidial.
That's correct.
Wow. That is correct indeed.
Are we trying to give away tickets?
No, should
we are. Wow. All right, let's go to Andrew, line eight. This is bordering on minutia. I'm not sure if this is really trivia, but let's see if Chip can come up with it. Andrew, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, okay, so what was the first single off of the Offspring's hit album, Americana?
Ooh.
It's hard to keep them in order. Like, which album, which single, what came first?
I'm just going to guess, because it was the biggest one, Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
That's right.
That is correct.
God. Yeah.
How about that?
Stump Chip, baby. Weenie.
We can drop Steven on line six. That's too easy. If I know it, it's too easy. Let's go to a seven. Let's go to line seven. Ooh. Let's try Robert. This is going to be a complex multi-part answer, but this may be the only way anybody's going to be able to stump Chip. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
The question is, who are the original band members from Offspring?
Ooh. Are you counting Manic Subsidial or Offspring?
No, the original 1984 band members.
Ooh.
I didn't know that those weren't.
Dexter, Greg K, Doug Thompson, and James Leha.
Oh,
yes. What? I totally pulled that out of my butt.
What? You should see her. She closes her eyes and she just conjures it.
No, she's channeling. She's channeling. All right.
Wow.
We're in sudden death here, ladies and gentlemen. It won't be a drawing. First person to stump Chip wins tickets in the pit for the Weenie Rose. Let's see if Alex has the answer. Alex is on line one and joins us on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Good luck. Stump Chip.
Alex.
Hello, Alex.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
Yes. Now it's you.
So Chip knows the name of the original band, but how did they come up with the name The Offspring?
She's bleeding from the eye. She's
bleeding from the
so
eye,
right
trying
now.
To think.
Where did the name come from, Chip? Do you know this one?
I think it was because it was something to do with they were influenced by the Descendants. Like, they thought they were, the offspring of that kind of band, maybe?
What is it, Alex?
Yeah, what is it, Alex?
Well, it's because of the offspring of Manic Subsidial.
Oh.
Huh. Wait. That doesn't make any sense.
It could be the next.
Well, this was disappointing and anticlimactic. That's not how you want to lose and give away tickets to just a so-so answer. But
I didn't know it. So
technically, if you're right, Alex, you win tickets in the pit to go see The Offspring and all the bands at the Weenie Rose Fiesta. How about that?
Yes, I love it. You can ask Dexter on Friday.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, what?
I didn't hear any of that. Yeah, but congratulations. Please hold on.
Friday.
You were able to stump Chip.
Stump Chip, baby.
Our friend Adam Carolla.
Hey.
Coming up after the top of the hour in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, I see that Adam is at the Lovitz on Saturday night. What are you guys doing there, right?
He's doing the 8 o'clock show. And then at 10 o'clock, it is the hilarious Hollywood Babylon show that I host every Saturday night up there at the Lovitz, usually with Kevin Smith, who is he's in Australia doing some personal appearance at work, so he won't be there. But for those of you who were lucky enough to be at our April Foolishness show, you saw diminutive comedian Brad Williams, our midget friend. He is going to be my co-host for Saturday Night Show at the Hollywood Babylon. He's done it once before, and the regular listeners of our podcast, Hollywood Babylon, just loved Brad, so we made a point of bringing him back. So it's me and Brad Williams this Saturday night at the Lovitz at 10 p.m. You can go to thelovitz.com for more info and for tickets, or you can go to babbleonralph.com.
Beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
They are, and I'm happy to be on the good side of them. I'm gonna cozy up to their leader now.
I think that's smart. Yeah. All right, the Ace Man joins us next. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
By the way, I did Brad's podcast. He's got a new podcast now called About Last Night that was very funny on the Toad Hop Network with his buddy Adam. So,
am I going to have to get a podcast now? Is that a thing now
dear
that
God,
everybody
I hope
is
not.
Required?
Oh. No, we're good. We got him. We got him handled. We're fine now. But move along. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see. Move along.
There's lots of Postal Service news that's not getting covered.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. You see Modern Family this week, by the way?
No, not yet.
Not yet, no.
Spoiler alert. I mean, it's in the title, so it's really not a spoiler. But Walt, the next-door neighbor, passes away. And when they find him, he fell asleep. He died in his sleep, which is nice. But he had just finished writing an angry letter to the Postmaster General, apparently they say in the episode. So I said, that's how Bean's going to go.
It's totally based on Bean.
Bean lives alone, loved by no one,
right?
Has no human contact, is found dead clutching an angry letter to the Postmaster General. So that's how
you
know.
That's great.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away some more tickets to this Avengers event that we are having. The K-Rock special advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers happens on May 1st. AMC Century City 15. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, May the 4th. But if you know the answer to my trivia question, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call.
Here's Patrick Donahoe.
Patrick Donahoe?
What?
I'm sorry. I thought we were still talking about the Postmaster General. Go ahead.
Jesus.
Wow.
Name for me the Avengers butler. The Avengers have a butler. How cool is that? That's how cool the superhero team is. They have a butler. I need the name of the butler. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. He's actually Tony Stark and Iron Man's butler. But, he gets around. They share him. They use him. They pass him around like Lindsay Lohan at a Coke party. I'm kidding. I love Lindsay. I love the Lilo. You know who doesn't?
Who?
Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell came out on the Today Show and slammed Lindsay Lohan, saying she should never play Elizabeth Taylor.
Why?
Because she isn't capable of pulling that off.
She doesn't think she's a very good actress?
She's not capable of pulling off the role. She feels sorry for Lindsay. She needs a lot of time away. She needs to be more rehab and more work on herself, but work isn't a place for her right now, Rosie O'Donnell said. Really provoked by no one. No, she was on this panel. They were doing the pop culture roundtable kind of thing, and she went off. Really sort of inexplicably on Lindsay. Really hard.
Well, is what she's saying that she needs to focus on getting her life together?
That was like her trying to couch it in that, but it really was like, no way, she's not good enough to play Lindsay Lohan.
She just
Lohan.
Doesn't have the gravitas.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's a TV movie, right?
Yeah, it's on Lifetime. Relax, yeah. Rosie.
I think it'll
Martin
be fine.
Martin Scorsese's Liz.
Yeah.
Fatty. Not to mention, you can't hold a TV show either, so shut up.
No one wants to watch
you. No one wants to watch you or hear from you, quite frankly. I think Elizabeth Taylor is such a huge gay icon that Rosie O'Donnell is taking this very personally.
Maybe that's what it is.
I think that's part of it, too. But anyway, shut up.
I think Rose McGowan should have played Elizabeth Taylor, by the way. That would have been my pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ralph and Rose have a rough relationship.
Martin Lawrence and his wife Shamika are splitting up. Oh, I thought Marty and Shamika were forever.
Yeah, he seems easy to get along
with. He does. Right? They got married in 2010, but they were together for 15 years before that.
Wow.
You're going to find this hard to believe, but Martin Lawrence and his wife Shamika are divorcing amicably and intend to remain the best of friends.
Of course. That's nice.
Yeah. Out of love and respect for one another, we will continue to remain friends and raise our two beautiful daughters together, Martin said. Well, not Martin said, but someone said for Martin in a PR release.
Right.
If I married someone named Shamika, I would never leave her, just because that name Shamika is awesome.
Shamika and Ralph.
Yes. Doesn't that sound like a match made in heaven?
Absolutely.
While we're talking about the Avengers, Chris Evans, doing a lot of press for the upcoming film, was asked by Us Weekly magazine what kind of girls he likes, because he's the dreamboat, you know that, Chris Evans.
Yes, he is.
Captain America, of course, in the film. He said, I like girls in wet hair and sweatpants and ponytails. Yeah, you do.
The girl next door.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Girls who give me a hard time, bust my chops a little. That's what I like. Yeah. Everyone says that, Chris, until the girl starts actually busting your chops. Then you're like, get out of my house.
I don't need this. I don't need this. Any of them.
Dry your hair and take those sweatpants off, too, while you're at it. So that's how you get Chris Evans, ladies.
Okay.
And while we're talking about beautiful women, Victoria's Secret models give away their beauty secrets.
I was born this way?
No, Lisa.
Is that one of them?
No, they have these beauty secrets that will make you a Victoria's Secret model.
Excellent.
Just be hot like me.
Candace Swainpool, for example, says use an avocado oatmeal and egg mask.
And I'll have perfect skin?
Yes.
Okay.
Just put that goop all over your face and you will turn out just like Candace Swainpool.
Our girls, we have problems too.
See? Have problems too.
We're just like you, except we're hot.
Miranda Kerr says she uses a mashed up cucumber mask. That's what makes her beautiful. And Lindsay Ellingson says she coats herself in vitamin C.
These are stupid tips.
Just do what they say. They're smoking hot. Do what they say.
You can't argue with their results, Lisa. Come on.
No, yeah, you're right. I'm sure they changed their lives that way.
I have an answer to my trivia question. I think David on line one may know who the Avengers butler is. David?
Hi.
Hey there,
morning,
sir. What's the name of the Avengers butler?
Jarvis.
Jarvis, indeed. That's correct, sir. That's kind of bummed me out in the movies, in the Iron Man movies and in the Avengers. He's a computer. He's a computerized butler. I was hoping they'd have a real dude in a tuxedo walking around with a tray full of cocktails
That'd
for the
cool.
Avengers, but no such luck. David, hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see the Avengers at our early advanced screening, okay?
All right.
All right, buddy.
Ralph, I'm just guessing now, but if you had, Bruce Wayne money, I suspect you would have a full-time butler who could, would dress in a tux and bring you out drinks on a tray.
Hell yeah!
It'd be pretty awesome, right?
And he would know all my secrets. And yeah. He would help me, fight crime.
I'm not saying you'd be Batman.
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I'd so be Batman. Today's celebrity birthday is Al Pacino. Ooh, 72 years old. Today, Hank Azaria turns 48. Jane's Addiction bassist Eric Avery is 47. Yeah. Gina Torres is 43. Renee Zellweger, also 43. And Jason Lee from My Name is Earl, Almost Famous, and the Chipmunks movies, 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Harold McDaniel from Harbor City, latest winner of the K-Rock Weenie Roast tickets for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, Saturday, May 5th. He's got tickets. Now you can, too. We've got them for you every hour, all day long, here on the world-famous K-Rock. Keep listening for another chance to win. Coming up in details at K-Rock.com. Lisa May, here's the problem. There's not enough Adam Carolla in the world.
That's true. Never enough.
There's almost no place you can go see Adam Carolla. Oh, wait, he sold out this Saturday night at the Lovitz Theater at 8 o'clock. Then he's appearing Thursday, May 3rd at the Irvine Improv with special guest Jim Jefferies. Then down in San Diego for a date with Dennis Prager at the Spreckles Theater. And then on Friday, May 11th, he's at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks. And Adam Carolla, you there, man?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, Adam.
And a night of comedy for Project ALS on May 2nd. That's going to also be at the Lovitz at Universal City Walk. You with your old friend Jimmy Kimmel, also Sarah Silverman, Kevin Nealon, Todd Glass, Jeff Ross, Patton Oswalt. That's a hell of a lineup, dude.
Loaded for bear and for Jew hair.
I don't even know what that means. It sounds like some sort of Quentin Tarantino movie reference. Is it awkward for Jimmy and Sarah to be on the same bill on the same night, or are they cool?
We're going to find out.
Okay. I know you're going to try to stir something up.
I don't think they've been on the same bill and the same night since they left the same bed on the same night. So we'll figure it out. This is the first, for all I know. So we'll figure it out.
Well, it's a fantastic lineup for a great cause, raising money to fight ALS. And again, that's going to be a night of comedy on May 2nd at the John Lovitz. And you can get tickets at projectals.com. Everything else at adamcarolla.com. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three, maybe three and a half, and working our way up to number one. Bean, you'll be glad to know I just got back from Minneapolis, or I think it was St. Paul, where I was playing Garrison Keillor's Theater.
I saw that you were going to be up there. That's a beautiful place, right? I've been there.
Yeah, but the experience was ruined because when I was flying in to from St. Louis, I sat behind a 40-year-old woman who was like, "Hey, Adam, hey, Mancho, hey, Dance with Stars. I live in Minnesota. What are you doing in Minnesota?" I said, "I'm playing Garrison Keillor's Theater tonight." She said, "Who?"
Oh, no. Said, are you serious?
"You don't know where Lake Pagan is?" And she's like, "No, I'm 42. I've lived there my whole life." Then when I was flying home the following morning, I was sitting next to a dude flying back to L.A. who was from Minnesota in first class, and I said to him, just got done playing Garrison Keillor's place. And he said, "Who?" And I thought Garrison Keillor would kill himself if I told him nobody in his fair city or state knew who the F he was.
See, this this breaks my heart because I'm a huge Gary Scheckler fan, Adam, as you know, and I feel like our people are dying out. I think that's what's happening.
I dropped a deuce in his dressing room for you, baby.
Oh, man.
Also, here's my 3.5. The same guy or a different guy after the show when I was signing autographs, white dude came up to me with the earring, the pierced ear. Have you ever seen the dude with the earring and the diamond stud, but he doesn't have enough money to get a real diamond, or at least a diamond that can be seen with the naked eye, but he's not a cubic zirconia guy. So he has a diamond stud that's the size of the tip of a grain of rice before it's cooked. It's actually in danger of falling through the hole that it's in. And you think to yourself, what are you saying to the world? You haven't arrived? Like, what is this getting you? The non-diamond or the cannot-be-seen-with-the-naked-eye diamond stud in your ear. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I don't understand what the point of something that small would be either, no.
Right. I understand the idea of the, you know, Floyd Mayweather diamond ring that can be seen from outer space that lets the bitches know you've arrived, or if you've got a nice wad of cash in your pocket and you're getting ready to make it rain. But this thing says, I make $8 an hour. And I manage an Arby's, and I have $87 to spend, and if you ever get an engagement ring for me, it'll be under 40. So I understand the pierced ear thing, fellas, but if you're going to advertise you're a loser, I'll just leave it until you win the lottery. Number two, had the cab driver take me over to the theater. Habib, 52 years of age, from the Sudan, and guess what was cranked up in the cab? That's right, reggaeton.
Really? And reggaeton?
Reggaeton,
huh?
In Minnesota with a 52-year-old dude who was born in Sudan, and I said to Habib, I said, Habib, how old are you? And he said, he said, guess. By the way, let me just give this out to people. When they ask you, how old are you, or when does the movie start, or how much for the surf and turf, guess is never the answer we're looking for. I just want to know how old you are. That's right. Why I asked.
You're not on a game show, and nor do you want to be.
No, and staring at, I don't know, I guess there's some sort of, I could count the neck rolls on the back of your head. I can't see your face, Habib, but I'm guessing by the neck rolls. I have you somewhere in your late 40s, early 50s, but people should also understand this. Whether they're guessing your age or guessing your weight, whatever it is, they're always going to round a direction that is flattering to you. When someone says, guess my age, your first thought is, I think the guy looks like he's in his early 50s, and then I'll knock off 5 years so he feels good about himself. So understand, you're getting a false age when people guess. Anyway, he's got this stuff cranked up. He's got the reggaeton. It's the most annoying music on the goddamn planet. That's reggaeton. Then when I was being driven from St. Louis, I had a guy who had the Creed cranked up. And I just thought, look, you're not allowed just to crank up your horrible music that you personally enjoy in your vessel when you're driving me. And then I thought, you know what would cure all this? How about Schoolhouse Rock? How about every piece of transportation, taxi cabs, town cars, whatever, just played Schoolhouse Rock? It would be a nice walk down memory lane, and we could all figure out how a bill was passed.
I think cab drivers would go insane and kill themselves if they had to listen to Schoolhouse Rock all
day. More than reggaeton?
Well, there's a good point right there.
It was the funniest thing in the world. I said, Habib, what are we playing reggaeton for? He said, it's party music. It's disco music. I said, you think there's a party going on in here? And he said, no. Number one, our jocks and our hot chicks are about the dumbest people on the planet. When I say our, I mean the U.S. Mm-hmm. Like, the bar is so low for our jocks and our hot chicks. It's insane. I had Vladimir Klitschko, heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko, on my podcast the other day. He is Dr. Vladimir Klitschko. He speaks three languages. He plays chess, and he plays the piano. And then I saw this thing on Real Sports on Pau Gasol, the forward for the Lakers. And it's like, oh, he sits in on medical surgeries, and he plays the viola, and he speaks nine languages. And then I think about Meta World Peace and Karl Malone, and I think about our jocks. Like, when you're a jock from a different country, you're still required to, like, learn a second language and play the chess. You don't immediately just turn into a retard. What is it? And if you ever meet a hot chick, and you go, what do you do? And she's like, I'm a pharmacist. And you go, what? You're a pharmacist? And then you go, where are you from? They always go, Canada. It's never Kentucky. We require almost nothing. Find me another country that just once you're a hot chick or once you can dunk a basketball, we just immediately go, well, you never have to do anything else. You don't have to form a sentence. You don't have to form a thought. You don't have to add a number. You can elbow guys in the head all you want. It doesn't matter. You do nothing.
Yep, they're off the hook for any other skills that the rest of us are required to learn just because they're good at that one thing. That's an outstanding point.
No, all you have to do is crack 6'5" or be a tall blonde, and society immediately goes, well, you never have to learn another thing. Good luck with your fourth grade education. And Adam, by the way, you'll do fine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Adam Carolla, he'll be at the Irvine Improv with Jim Jefferies on May the 3rd, Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks on the 11th. And, of course, this night of comedy for Project ALS at the John Lovitz at Universal City Walk with Jimmy Kimmel, Sarah Silverman, Kevin Nealon, Todd Glass, Jeff Ross, Patton Oswalt. By the way, we have tickets to give away to that. And this is a pricey ticket because it's for charity. But we're going to give away a pair of tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. Call now if you want to see that fantastic lineup. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the podcasts and to pre-order Adam's new book, Not Taco Bell Material. Ace, you're the best. Thanks for coming
on.
I need Kevin to come back so there's some sort of a buffer between Beer Mug and me.
Yeah, I know.
Just something in between. And
poor Lisa. She's in here all the time with him.
Yeah.
Well, I just ignore him most of the time. I'm sorry, what?
Doesn't
what did
help.
You say?
It just keeps coming.
How dare you all?
It's a torrential downpour of bad inanity.
Yep.
That's what I bring.
It has to stop.
Nope.
All right.
Your name should be Sean Inanity.
See what you did?
That was terrible.
Time for the world's shortest showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Why is it short?
Because Adam Carolla took all of our time this hour. Now we're almost out of show. That's
Here's
why.
My top three. All right. I've got tickets to give away to the very special K-Rock advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers. That's the most important part of this showbiz beat. So let's get to it. Here's your trivia question. If you know the answer and can get through, at 1-800-520-1067. First person with the right answer wins a pair of tickets to our very special advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers. It's happening on the 1st of May. And don't feel bad if you don't win, because it's in movie theaters everywhere on the 4th of May. Captain America, known in the movies as the First Avenger. Chris
Obviously.
Evans, of course, plays him in that film and in the Avengers. He, of course, was a 4F, was rejected by the military during World War II because he was too scrawny to be a soldier. Then they injected him with the Super Soldier Serum, which is what I like to call my essence, by the way, but that's neither here nor there. What was the secret, top secret code name the military had for that project of making those super soldiers using that serum? 1-800-520-1067, if you know the government's top secret code name for that project. 1-800-520-1067.
Girth,
that's what it was called. E! Cable Network has announced they're renewing Keeping Up with the Kardashians for not one, not two, but three more seasons.
That's just not good.
That's got to be worth $15,000 to the Kardashians, Ralph.
It turns out, Bean, according to sources, it's worth $40 million.
What?
Damn.
To the Kardashians. I wonder how much of that Seacrest gets, because, you know, he's the producer-creator of that show.
He's got God money.
He's got the 30 mil he got from 2 years more of American Idol, and now he's picking up a piece of change off of this deal, I'm sure, as well. New Kardashian premieres May 20th, by the way, on E!
Circle your calendars. Mark my something.
You know what we need to do? We need to unleash LaQuisha on that show, I think.
Can we
do
that?
I think the Kardashians has gone unscathed for too long.
I agree.
And while she's busy beating up on the Jersey Shore, maybe there's some people closer to home that could use a good pummeling.
I like it.
Now, I'm not embarrassed to say I've never seen the Kardashian show at all, but it follows the lives of all three sisters and the parents, and then now the younger ones
kind
as well.
Of,
so we're going to see probably Kourtney's pregnancy is probably going to be a big plot line for this coming season.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
I hope you put lives in quotes. There's no real living going on.
They have
on
to actually
there.
Manufacture things to make them interesting
of
on
course,
that show. They
yeah.
have to script out things for them to do to make them interesting people, which is tragic on so many levels. We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I don't see a person. Line five.
Is line where
five?
We're going.
Okay.
Yes.
Line five.
This is going to be David.
David may have the answer to my question. What was the secret, super secret code name, according to the government, for the project that turned Steve Rogers into Captain America, David?
Project Rebirth.
Project Rebirth! You're absolutely right. Hold on. You're going to go to the advanced screening of Marvel's The Avengers on May 1st.
Awesome.
We'll give you all the details.
Sorry to wake you up, David.
And then, of course, Professor Erskine was shot dead during that procedure. And that's
obviously.
That's why we only have one super soldier.
Obviously.
Tragic news. Tragic. Today's celebrity birthday is Jason Lee from My Name is Earl, Almost Famous, the Chipmunk movies. And someone reminded me, don't forget Miami Heat. Was it Miami Heat? No, Memphis Heat. Memphis Beat.
Memphis Heat.
The Meat Beat.
It was Memphis
Heat.
I hope.
It was Memphis Beat. Yeah,
it was. It was one season, right?
I believe it was, yeah. 42 years old today. Renee Zellweger, 43 years old. Gina Torres, I Think I Love My Wife. That's not me saying that. I Know I Love My Wife is the name of the movie she was in. She was also in Alias and other projects. 43 years old. Eric Avery.
Eric.
Has Bean gone, Larry? Has he left the show?
No, I'm not here.
Okay. Jane's Addiction is 47 years old. Hank Azaria from The Simpsons turns 48. And Al Pacino, the legend, until he did that Jack and Jill movie. They took the legend card away from him. He is 72 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are lucky that the Academy Awards can't come and take their Oscar statues away from you if you're in a bad enough movie.
That's true.
Got a great show for you tomorrow. Seriously, I know we lie about this stuff a lot, but Dr. Drew, the hunkiest man on cable, is going to be here. Danny Putty, it's the return of Community Thursdays here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He plays Abed on the show. He's going to be joining us. The great William Shatner is going to be joining us tomorrow. Talking about his Hollywood Charity Horse Show. Funny man Jay Moore on the program tomorrow.
Jay Moore!
Jay Moore is going to be here as well. We got tickets in the pit for the Weenie Roast as well. And we're going to introduce you to Cat Daddy. And your life may never be the same after you hear about Cat Daddy. That's tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous